അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയ ഓം നിത്യപ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ടരാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസീദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി assembled devotees all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga all glories to Srila Prabhupada Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam ഓം നമോ ഭഗവദേ വാസുദേവായം ഓം നമോ ഭഗവദേ വാസുദേവായം സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹ്യ ഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവാം ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൾ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മ ഹൃദ യ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരി മൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേ ത്രകൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദി ഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയാ തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയിൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണു കൊണിതാതൃദാനനേന്ദോഹോ మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురిం నా కనికాపి కాపి కాపి. నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధా సహాయం అతిసుందర మందహాసం వాతాళయేశ మనిషం కృతి భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురదో మమాం. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. I was last week I just mentioned few things when I traveled to these temples in Tiruvatar and Tiruvananthapuram and also in Varkala. These temples photographs are there in the Chaitanya Charitamritam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his travels spent time in these places and purely they were centers of Vaishnava culture and Vaishnava philosophy. And in his travels Mahaprabhu had opportunity to discuss Krishna consciousness with various types of people, and it has benefited the human society because of the stress Mahaprabhu has given to worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So from all these traveling to temples, it also gives you an insight into the life people led, say 500 years or 1000 years before. Because from the construction of these temples and also from the worship they followed for so many years, you can see that Krishna conscious culture has been existing for very, very long time in this world. And what today, due to the influence of the advancement of the material civilization, people have been restricted or restrained from pursuing that Vedic culture which predominantly existed before. So that also you can see if you travel to these places, you can have a view, you can have an understanding that how were affected by the how they were affected by the culture, and how these temples were able to maintain that satisfaction in their spiritual life through their various practices. So in one of these temples, apart from the pastimes associated with most of them, you have to remember that many great devotees and personalities have traveled and spent their time in these temples. And due to their advanced spiritual understanding and their excellent deity worship they executed in their life, these temples have become a center of memories today for those who wants to delve into that.
Like when you read about Vilumangalam and so many other great, great souls who have traversed this path of deity worship and surrendering to Krishna. And their life was centered around these temples. These temples were the centers where they inspired people. And in addition to that, in their pure Krishna consciousness, they have developed a relationship with Krishna in these temples. Now, this is what is missing in our life. When we don't have a relationship with Krishna, we find everything very difficult. Our spiritual life also becomes very difficult. But you can learn from one of these, many of these temples, that the deities and the great devotees, they had a strong relationship between them. And it is due to that, that the deities had responded to the devotees. And devotees in turn spend their time in glorifying these deities in these famous and magnificent temples. So, it was an eye-opener from that point of view, that it gives you an understanding that how important deity worship is, how important it is for the devotees to cultivate Krishna consciousness in the association of the Supreme Personality at the temple. And also it gives an opportunity for devotees to culture the higher spiritual values of life. So apart from these temples I mentioned, that is the five major temples built by the Pandavas, Dharmaputra, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhimasena, Arjuna, Nakula and Sahadeva, they built individual temples to glorify Krishna. In addition to that, these three temples of Adikeshava, Padmanabha and Janardana, which Mahaprabhu visited, they were all places worthwhile to visit and see how each of these Pandavas saw Krishna in their own way. For example, the temple Arjuna has built, Arjuna decided to install Krishna's deity where Krishna was holding a whip in his hand, just like he has received the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. So, and when you look at Krishna's face, also you could see that how grave Krishna was while he was instructing Arjuna. Bhagavad Gita was being instructed. So when Arjuna decided to install a deity of Krishna like that, the relationship Yudhishthira Maharaj had with Krishna is also reflecting on the deity what Yudhishthira has installed. Yudhishthira Maharaj considered Krishna as his younger brother because of from the material relationship that was the situation between Krishna and Yudhishthira. So, whereas Nakula and Sahadeva, they were younger to Krishna and therefore they always looked upon Krishna for guidance and help, and also their consciousness is also different than that of Arjuna and Bhima or Yudhishthira. So all these things are there, and in addition to that, on the 4th of December, it was an Ekadashi day, and that was also the day when Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So this Ekadashi day, which was the 4th of December, also happened to be one of the most famous festivals in Guruvayur temple. So I took that opportunity to go there and to see that the activities in the temple and also the history behind this Ekadashi festival of the December, on the 4th of December. Apart from the fact that it was the day Bhagavad Gita was spoken, there are so many other important factors related to that day. Just like if you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that when after Govardhana hill was lifted, Krishna was present and Surabhi came from the heavenly planets to bathe Krishna with her own milk. And when Surabhi bathed Krishna, after Indra has put the cows into difficulties on that day, Surabhi decided that from now on, Indra is not going to be our leader, or not going to be taken into as our protector. Rather, she requested Krishna to take charge of the responsibility of the family of cows. And it was that day that Surabhi bathed Krishna with her own milk. And from then on, it has become a habit that Krishna should be bathed with milk on that day in a opulent way. And Krishna has got received his name Govinda from then on. So that makes that day much more interesting. So why these memories from the Srimad Bhagavatam and from Krishna's times from 5,000 years ago in this planet still comes to us when we see the deities being bathed in that way? And that memories will naturally bring us, take us back to the time when Krishna had these discussions with Surabhi and Indra. So apart from all these things, there were many other reasons why this festival was so important there. This was an instance for many people to come from very, very remote villages to see Krishna. Many of them do not get an opportunity to come to the temple every day because they live so far, and due to their own prarabdham or due to their life at home and responsibilities at home, sometimes it becomes difficult for them to come. But they always make sure that this one opportunity they do not miss. So when you go there and see the people lined up to see Krishna, starting on the Dashami day, that's the day before Ekadashi, they have opened the deity room, the temple room was open, and then they do not close the whole of night on the Dashami day. Throughout Ekadashi day, it's open, and throughout Ekadashi night, also it's open, because of the crowd who comes to see Krishna on that day. And then on the Dwadashi day, that's the day after Ekadashi, that is the day at about 9 o'clock they close the temple for the, and the devotees are asked to leave the temple room. So till that means continuously about roughly 72 hours Krishna is present there to receive the devotees. So when you wander around and look through this long line of devotees standing, hundreds and thousands running up to 4 or 5 miles the queue, they're all standing there, very, very old people. They have come from long distances with a lot of effort to see Krishna on that day. Old ladies, young women with children in their hand, they're all standing in that queue. And if you look at them, you can also see a lot of things in their life, that how important for them Krishna consciousness is, that this is culture, that the culture of Krishna consciousness, that Krishna is protecting them. Some of them, they had been praying to Krishna with their distresses in life, with various kinds of distresses people experience in this life. So they have come to Krishna, and they have come and spoken to Krishna about it last year. And Krishna has somehow given them relief from their distress. And there are others who have other distresses they are going through, either due to health problems or financial difficulties or whatever it is, material life, who doesn't have a distress. So these distress, they have come to speak to Krishna, and they have come once a year to say these things to Krishna. And you can see that they are willing to give up any other pleasure to see Krishna because they find that shelter in Him. Why these things I am saying is that Krishna consciousness, a relationship with Krishna has to build up in one's heart. Krishna is not standing there as a statue there, and you have a completely disconnected relationship with Him. It is this kind of relationship that builds into a pure form later, although it may start in the earlier days with desires, material distresses. These things do build up later on into a pure relationship. But to begin with, relationship has to be there. That Krishna, a devotee has to feel that he has a relationship with Krishna. Sometimes from homes, they have been told, so everybody may not be able to come, because sometimes at homes they have old people to care for. Everybody may not be able to come. Sometimes there are small children who have to be cared for. So therefore, various reasons, everyone may not be able to go there. But at least from one home, one person at least will try to make it to come and see Krishna on an important day like that. So the others will tell him that when you see Krishna, please tell him my situation and explain, tell him that this is what I am going through. So like this, different people deliver different messages to many of these devotees. And these devotees, they stand there miles and miles in the scorching heat just to see Krishna for a second. That is how much time they get to see him. But Krishna is standing there and smiling at them, listening to all these distresses from different kinds of people in different ways. So somehow or the other, that relationship is important. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see at various places, Sri Shukan says to Parikshit that if you read this story, this will be the result. You will get free from this problem or another problem. There's so many instances mentioned there. So from this you can see that Sri Shukan, when he says to Parikshit these things, he did mean that human relationship with Krishna is important, and that relationship has to be on some level at all times in life. And then as and when, at some point in time, one will come to understand that asking Krishna for any of these material comforts, material benefits, is not the best thing. Rather, to develop that ultimate love for Krishna's lotus feet. That is the goal of all these things. So, it is with this background that we have to think many, many things in relationship with Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna. So, naturally, when you hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees, these are the thoughts that builds up in one's heart. In example, Willumangalam used to come to Guruvayur many, many instances in his early life. And generally, as a sannyasi, the sannyasis had a special privilege Krishna has given to them. That especially personalities like Willumangalam, when they go to any temple, they will not see the deity there. They will see the person Krishna there. In person, they were able to see him there. This was their capacity. That comes because Willumangalam's state of consciousness and purity, and also the attachment he had for Krishna's lotus feet, was such that Krishna has given him this opportunity that wherever he goes, he will see the deity and he will be able to speak to the deity. So, Willumangalam traveled into many, many places. And there are many, many temples where Willumangalam visited in his lifetime. During this time, he had compiled this various verses in glorifying the Supreme Lord in all these places. So, not far from there, from Guruvayur, there is a famous temple of Lord Ramachandra, which is known as Triprayar. This Triprayar temple is one of the magnificent temples which was built thousands and thousands of years ago, and it stands there today, that in the very presence of the temple, one can experience that the Supreme Lord has been worshipped for so long there. Willumangalam was present there in one instance. So Willumangalam had this habit that whenever he went to the temples, he will first ask the presiding deity there, in this case, Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra, he wanted to pay his respects to him. So he wanted to pay his obeisances to Ramachandra. And he saw Ramachandra standing in the temple room. Ramachandra immediately asked to Willumangalam, what is the plan? Willumangalam said to Ramachandra that this is what you have to remember, that Willumangalam's relationship with Krishna was already in a very advanced stage. And now Krishna has given him this benefit also, that when he goes to even Ramachandra's temples, he is seeing Ramachandra there. Sri Ramachandra was there in the temple and Willumangalam started speaking to him. Willumangalam said to him, Swamiji, Ramachandra addressed Willumangalam, asked him, what's the plan? Willumangalam's answer was that, do you want to pay your obeisances? Ramachandra said to Willumangalam. Willumangalam said, yes, I do want to pay my obeisances. But prior to doing that, I have a request, he said to Ramachandra. So Ramachandra could not understand, what's Willumangalam now going to say to me? What does he want from me? He said, that is how there's a famous verse in the Krishna Karnamritam was compiled. Vihaya ko danda sharau muhurtam Willumangalam Grihana panim mani charu venum. Willumangalam said to Ramachandra that it's nice to see you, but I have one request, he said. He said to Ramachandra, can you just drop that bow and arrow there? Vihayako danda sharo muhurtam. Not for a long time, just for a muhurtam, for a short time, just drop that bow and the arrow there. And then, grihana panim mani charu venum. Can you take that flute in your hand? He said. And then, what else did he say? Mayura pinjam nija charu bhangim. Can you just put a peacock feather on your head? Sidhapade tvam pravishami vakshal. That Sidhapade, or husband of Sida Devi, that is all what I want to see now. I cannot see you in this form. This is Vilumangalam talking to Ramachandra. Vihayako danda sharo muhurtam grihana panim mani charu venum mayura barhanjani jotamangam Sidhapade tvam pravishami vakshal. That this is how that relationship Vilumangalam had with Krishna. Vilumangalam could not see any other form. Vilumangalam could only see, even in Ramchandra's standing there as a deity, Vilumangalam's request was, I want to see you drop that bow and arrow and take the flute in your hand. So, like this, you can see in various instances that throughout Sri Krishna Karanamritam and so many other literature, that how the devotees had a relationship with Krishna. When you have no relationship, everything becomes very dry. Spiritual life is also becomes very dry. Then it becomes a mechanical process. And that mechanical process will continue for some time. And afterwards, science or technology will take over in the mind. So before that science comes in, it is better to build this relationship with Krishna. If we don't build a relationship, tomorrow we will feel our mind is such. Mind is very much under the three modes of nature. It's very much conditioned also. And that is why mind requires this relationship with Krishna. Without relationship with Krishna, everything becomes very dry. Great, great yogis and great, great jnanis, they have no relationship. And because they have no relationship, that effort by them, endeavor by them, often ends up in failure. Whereas if you come to Bhakti Yoga process, the process is so nice and so sweet that as much as one develops that feeling for Krishna consciousness in Sri Krishna Bada Bhakti, as it's referred to, one can see that what a beautiful process Bhakti Yoga means. That is the greatest benefit of Krishna consciousness. So in this way, when you see the various activities of the devotees, Krishna and Ramachandra, these two personalities, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Karavajana Maharshi says to Nimi Maharaj, Deyam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam shiva virinjanudam sharanyam vrityartiham pranadabala bhavadhivodam vande mahapurushade charanaravindam. Referring to Krishna. So referring to Krishna, this was the word he used. Deyam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam shiva virinjanudam sharanyam. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and so many other great personalities, they offer their respects to obeisances to Krishna. And in other words, tiktva sudupsida surepsida rajya lakshmim dharmeshtam adivajasa yadagadaranyam. To make father's word come true, Lord Ramachandra went to the forest. Maya amrigam daida epsida manvadhaval vande mahapurushade charanaravindam. That in the Srimad Bhagavatam, these two forms of Ramachandra and Krishna has been specifically mentioned by Karavajana Maharshi. Karavajana Maharshi was one of the nine sages who visited Nimi Maharaj in his palace in Mithila. So from there you can see that there is something very important in glorifying Krishna and Ramachandra. Very important in glorifying Krishna and Ramachandra. Through Ramayanam, 24,000 verses Valmiki gave us Lord Ramachandra. And through Srimad Bhagavatam, through 18,000 verses, Sri Shugan spoke Sri Krishna's glories through Srimad Bhagavatam. So Ramayanam and Bhagavatam, both these great literature, they present the Supreme Personality of Godhead to us in a way that will attract our mind towards them. That is how it is mentioned. So that is why this literature has been in existence, and for thousands and thousands of years people have read them and taken the benefit from that. So this, from this, you can see so many other things comes out. When we were discussing earlier about Lord Ramachandra, that was the story we stopped before I went away. So Ramachandra's story in the Ramayanam is something which only one can relish it as much as when one gets absorbed in it. So knowing the story is one thing, but the related thoughts behind everything what has happened in Ramayanam. Ramayanam is a story of tears. Well, if you read Ramayanam, you will see there Ramachandra from the very beginning, perhaps for about 10 or 12 years, there was a happy childhood. But after that, ever since he had to leave home and his travels through the forest, Sita getting kidnapped by Ravana, and later on all the troubles Ramachandra and Lakshmana had to go through in fighting Ravana, and eventually even after killed Ravana and bringing Sita Devi back to Ayodhya, what all difficulties happened after that, which comes in the Uttara Ramayanam, also is very, very painful for a devotee to read and to relish. But sometimes we have to go through them because it's necessary. Why? It is necessary because these two personalities, Ramachandra and Krishna, has taught us many things. Has taught us how to live in this world and how to make this life a successful one. That is why they are so important. For example, if you see them, see these things. Ramachandra's case, generally in the Shastram, it says there that for a father, there are four kinds of children. Uttamam, Madhyaman, Athaman and Ucharidam. Ucharidam means, for example, Uttaman means one who understands father's desire. One who understands father's desire without father even telling him what is to be done and acting on that level. He is considered to be the best among the sons. These are the Vedic concept. I don't know, the modern concept, all this is no meaning. It's very difficult to bring back something which has totally gone away from the society. But anyway, because it's Ramayanam, we have to say this. Because Ramayanam talks about all these things. Even though we don't follow it, at least we can think, oh, people used to live like this before, did they? At least you can think like that, even if we don't live like that today. But still it is worthwhile knowing this, why it is necessary to have all these things in life. So for a father, the sons are supposed to have a support for them. And from the Vedic concept, that the son's responsibility towards the father is like this, that father, without instructing the son, should know the father's mind and should be able to act on that level. He is known as Uttamam. Madhyaman is that person who, after being instructed, he does things whatever he has been told without any objection, or at least he is willing to accept the instruction and do something. He is known as Madhyaman. Now the Athaman, the third class, which is mentioned to be, is that someone who has been instructed and he does it in a very half-hearted way. Or whether I should do it or not, he analyzes everything himself and then he starts thinking whether what is the right thing to do. And sometimes he doesn't agree with his father because there is a generation gap there. The father he's thinking, father is all stupid, he has wasted his lifetime doing all nonsense. Me, the intelligent one who has come to this world now, I know the answer. So there is many people like that in this world. So they call the old man. The father is never called by anything, he's called the old man. Because he's gone old, so must be useless if he has gone old. So that's the concept anyway. So Uttaman, Madhyaman, Athaman. And there is a fourth one, which is worse than all these three, which even after instructing him, he doesn't want to do it. In other words, he is considered to be, from the point of view of the Shastram, he is referred to as Ucharidam. Ucharidam, it is in the word, is there in the Bhagavadam also. Ucharidam means nothing but just like stool you have in the toilet, in the same situation is his position in this world. So Uttamam, Madhyamam, Athaman and Ucharidam, four kinds of sons mentioned in the Ramayanam. Now, why did Rama, what did Rama, Ramachandra do? This is what we have to think about. Ramachandra has has had a very difficult situation. After Dasharatha gave this promise to Kaikeyi, Dasharatha had three wives, Kausalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi. Now, out of these three wives, Kaikeyi was more, so to say, more attractive or more good-looking in the eyes of Dasharatha. Not that everybody has to agree with that, but in Dasharatha's mind, Kaikeyi was a more beautiful to look at. And because of this, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring to Dasharatha, what the words used, do you know? Dasharatha is referred to as Strainasya Chabi. Strainasya Chabi means one who is addicted to the opposite sex. That particularly to women. For men's case, it's women the other way, the opposite also. So, Dasharatha, King Dasharatha, because of this weakness in him, he was in a very awkward situation. Dasharatha could not tell Ramchandra to go to forest. If you read Valmiki's Ramayanam, you will find all these things. Dasharatha could not tell Ramchandra to go to forest. Then why did Ramchandra do that? Because from Kaikeyi, Ramchandra came to know that this is what Dasharatha has committed to Kaikeyi. And so he decided to take it upon himself. This is how Ramchandra goes to forest in the beginning. So from this you can see that what does Shastra says about all these things? And why did Ramchandra do these things? These all things, questions comes up. When you read Ramayanam, so many questions will come. Why? Why did they do like this? Why did Ramchandra do that? Why did Lakshmana do like that? Why did Bharata do like this? All these questions come. And thoughtful people who have studied Ramayanam and who are trained their mind in the Shastram, they have spoken about it, Ramakatha Madhuri, as the sweetness of Sri Ramachandra's story, they have realized it. And that is why they learn lessons from that, what one should do in these circumstances. So Shastram says that if you have a father who is not instructing you properly, in other words, when you say instructing properly means instructing in spiritual life or helping you in advancing in spiritual path, or who is not following the principles of Krishna consciousness, such a father's instructions can be rejected. This is what the Shastra says. Guru Arapya Valuptasya, it says, even a spiritual master who is not instructing properly a disciple, the disciple has a right to reject that spiritual master in circumstances which are justified by the conditions. So Shastram says that there is an option like that, to reject a father or reject a spiritual master in circumstances which does not justify if the instructions are not appropriate. On the one hand it says that, on the other hand it also says that as a son one has to follow the instructions of the father. Ramchandra chose this instruction more than the other. He did not go by the Shastram. He did not accept the Shastram as authority. He decided that he will make sure that Dasharatha's instructions were upheld. Or in other words, whatever commitment Dasharatha has given to Kaikeyi, that Ramchandra considered that it should be taken in seriously. This was Ramchandra's mind work through. So Ramchandra decided to go to forest. And this travel to forest from Ramchandra has caused what happened with that. The result, what was the result? Result was that Ramchandra wanted to hold Dasharatha's words as truthful, Ayodhya lost Ramchandra's association for a very, very long time. Ayodhya, as well as the other members of the family, also lost the association of Ramchandra. So that was the loss due to the traveling of Ramchandra to the forest. Now, if you see the background of all this scene, Kaikeyi knew very well Kaikeyi knew only one thing, that Bharata has to be installed at the throne at any cost. That was Kaikeyi's insistence on these issues. And Kaikeyi has spoken, although initially never spoke anything rude to Ramchandra, At later on, when Bharata also started criticizing Kaikeyi for her actions, Kaikeyi being influenced by Mandara, we see a number of things happening at that point in the family of Ramachandra. Ramachandra decided to go, and this has upset, who else has upset more than anybody else? Lakshmana. Lakshmana could not accept that. Why? Because Lakshmana knew very well that Dasharatha could not instruct Ramachandra about going to the forest. So Lakshmana took a very tough attitude towards Dasharatha for being so relaxed about his relationship with Kaikeyi. In other words, Lakshmana knew very well, like Srimad Bhagavatam Shishukan says about Dasharatha, strainasya chavi, that he was addicted to these problems, and therefore Lakshmana took it upon Dasharatha, on the one hand. On the other hand, Lakshmana also decided to deal with Ramachandra accordingly, because Lakshmana didn't agree with what Ramachandra was going to do. That Lakshmana thought in his own mind that Ramachandra had a specific attachment to dharma. Dharma means upholding the values of religious principles. So from the Shastram, Ramachandra decided to take this one aspect of listening or adhering to father's instruction, and Lakshmana objected to that as well. Very strongly you can see this in the Valmiki Ramayana. On the one hand, Lakshmana not approving the Dasharatha's activities, nor approving the approach of Ramachandra in this. These two things Ramayanam teaches us through Lakshmana. Lakshmana is the key for us to understand that Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as in the other Vedic literature, also says this. The Shastram is that in Dharmam as well as in Kamam, if one goes to the extreme, it is not a good thing. A moderate approach is necessary. Otherwise, it will cause difficulties. But then why Ramachandra did all these things? That question comes. So the answer to that, many scholars have this opinion on Ramachandra's attitude towards his brother, towards the Kaikeyi and others. Soyam Martyavadaram, that this human body, human form, he came down here. Martya Shikshartham Evam, just to instruct the human society that in material world, no matter how careful you are, you have to carry the distress with you. This distress will come from... There was nothing short in Ayodhya, was there? If you read Ramayanam, you will see the opulent life they had in Ayodhya. There were no diseases. There were no old age. There was no death. This was Ramchandra's Ayodhya. This is why after millions and millions of years later, even today, when we talk about Ramchandra's kingdom, Ramarajyam as it referred to, why still feel it is not the modern democratic government, where simultaneously you have to run everything. But it is Ramachandra's kingdom that is glorified in the Ramayanam that still moves the people's heart. So if that was the situation, and naturally there was something missing in Tredayugam. What was that missing? Because they had no old age, they had no diseases, there was no death either. And the material conditions of life were such, there was no such thing called as distress either. This is what you understand from Ramachandra's time. Now, Ramachandra came and people worshipped Ramachandra for his nobility and the way he administered Ayodhya. And people saw in Ramachandra as a supreme personality of Godhead. And eventually, when Ramachandra left this world, he took away all the devotees, also went along with him back to the spiritual world. In Ramayanam, all these things are explained in detail. Now, Tredayugam has gone. After millions of years, Dwapara Yugam came. So, Dwapara Yugam, at the end of Dwapara Yugam, Krishna appeared in this world. Although there are different opinions about Krishna's appearance, many of the scholars agree on one point, that Krishna does not appear in every Dwapara Yugam. He has appeared in the 28th Chaturyugam, which is this in this day of Lord Brahma. So we have the good fortune of having Krishna appeared this Dwapara Yugam, prior to this Kali Yugam. So when this Kali Yugam, what do we see? Kali Yugam, you see only one thing. What is the symptom of Kali Yugam? Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, tells us what Kali Yugam will be like. So in Kali Yugam, we see that Krishna has appeared in Dwapara Yugam, at the end of Dwapara Yugam, and spoke Bhagavad Gita, instructing Arjuna, and Srimad Bhagavatam instructing Uddhava. This is what Krishna has left behind in this world. So, although people have, with the advancement in the age of Kali, experiences the distress of this world also has increased in their mind. It doesn't require much of an explanation of what, when we compare Ramachandra's time and the time of what we live in this beginning of Kali. So in the Kali Yugam, there is a reference that the people will experience the distress of material world much more than any other time before. This is one of the symptoms of Kali. Kali will not allow you, even if you want to practice spiritual life, it will not allow you, rather get you engaged in some complex issues of this world and take away your time before being utilized for spiritual life. That is the nature of Kali. That payenal payusha sabhya kalau asmin yuge janaha manda sumanda madayo manda bhagya hyubadrudaha. Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning, it says, mandasya manda prajnasya vayo manda yushascha vai nidraya hadaye naktam divaja vyartha karma bhim. When you read that verse, you may wonder whether Vedavyasa Maharshi knew about this industrial development in this world. Because that is how those words are telling us. Mandasya manda prajnasya vayo manda yushascha vai. That mandasya, everything slow, no rush. Spiritual life can wait. I have a lot of things to do in this world. Mandasya, manda prajnasya. Not only that, everything very slowly get into the head. Even if you tell hundreds of times, it's not going in. Why? Manda prajnasya. Prajna is also mandam. Mandam, mandam, mandam. Everything is mandam. Vayo manda ayushascha vai. Worse than everything else is manda ayus is also. Is there enough lifespan to do anything? That is also very much short. So Srimad Bhagavatam mentioned all these things. But more than interesting all that things, sometimes I thought that we have to offer some great recognition to Vedavyas for seeing what our life will be in the Kali Yugam. That means this so-called modern industrial lifestyle. Nidraya hriyade naktam. As soon as you finish your work in the factory, come home, go to sleep. Sleep the whole night so that you can work divaja vyartha karma bhim. You can start the vyartha karma again next day. Day after day, working, sleeping, working, sleeping, working, sleeping. This way, let this life go through. Is there no higher purpose than this in human life? This is what Vedavyas is saying to us. So, when one thinks all these things, what can one do? One has no choice. One has to accept the realities of this world. That Krishna consciousness, sometimes you understand that Krishna consciousness is an important thing in life, but unable to do it. Why unable to do it? Because of our own conditions behind us, that the sinful activities what we have committed, that is what is stopping us from advancing on the spiritual path. From there, one can see where what our position is in this world. So, with all these things going on, behind, Kali Yugam has come. Kali Yugam has come. And in Kali Yugam, all these impediments are pulling us down from everything. Even to our so-called busy life, Prabhupada used to say this all the time, that this so-called busy life, he said, nobody has time to think about the goal of life, purpose of life. No, everybody is totally absorbed in their material happiness. But this was not what it was meant to be. So, This is where importance of Krishna consciousness comes. Why? Why Krishna consciousness is important? The reason for that is that in Treta Yugam, the process was different. They had no distress, they had no death, there was no old age, there was no disease. And what do we have in Kaliyugam? We have death, we have old age, we have all diseases. Even whatever there was not enough, we have added more to the list now, so that we can suffer more, have together all in the best hospitals. And so the list has only gone up, it has not come down. So that is Kaliyugam. So, but there is one thing Kaliyugam has offered to us, and that is this thing called distress. Distress is what we are carrying with us all the time. Although we smile at each other, inside all the story is different. We all know that. So, in that process, so Krishna's appearance has a significance there. This is where Krishna consciousness becomes important, because what is that thing that makes Krishna consciousness special for Kaliyugam? The reason for that is that, is it because that Krishna has appeared in this world, is it like he killed so many demons? Is that what that makes Krishna's appearance so important? No, that is not the reason. Because killing of demons are concerned, there are others also doing that. Whereas there are so many demigods who are involved in that business. In addition to that, Krishna has his own representatives to do all that. For example, for creation process, Krishna has Brahma to do that. For maintenance, Vishnu has that function to do it. And as far as destruction is concerned, Lord Shiva is there to execute that duty. And so there is nothing much that Krishna was specifically necessary to come here to do this process of destruction. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, when you see about the appearance of Krishna, you will notice there that all the Mother Earth went to complain to Lord Brahma first, isn't it? But the demigods were there and started complaining about the activities of the demons. And then later on, Brahma said, I can't do anything about it. That we can understand, because after all, Brahma is not in charge of destruction. So then they went to Kailas and Lord Shiva was there. They saw Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva said to them, I am not the right person to do that either. Now, this brings a big question, because if Krishna has appointed Lord Shiva as in charge of destruction, why do you think that Lord Shiva had a problem to deal with Kamsa? He said, when he says that he couldn't do it, that brings a question. Why? When what was Lord Shiva doing? Was he executing his responsibility then? This question automatically comes, isn't it? So why Lord Shiva didn't do it? Why Krishna took it upon himself? After all, Kamsa is one of the many demons. If you see how Lord Shiva finishes the universe at the end of the creation, from the from his, Lord Shiva's mouth, the fire burns, the whole universe is heated. The great sages go into Tapalokam and higher planets to escape from the destruction at that time. So he is in charge of destruction. And if it is like that, is Kamsa a big problem? What is Kamsa after all? He was one of the kings in this planet, and he had such a problem to deal with Kamsa. That is also not very logical. Answer is not convincing, is there? So, but then there are answers to that also. We'll come to that later. But what I was trying to say was that Krishna decided to come this time for certain different reasons. That is the most important thing to remember. And that you understand from the devotees. This is why a devotee can understand Krishna, why Krishna came. Others will speculate on why Krishna came. Krishna came and Krishna did this, Krishna did that, will say so many things. But devotee's understanding is different. Devotee understands Krishna has come for different reasons. If Krishna has not come to kill the demons, why did Krishna come then? That question comes automatically. That then some people may say that Krishna has come for another reason. What was that? Krishna, during his time here, He gave Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, instructed to the human society Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and they say that that was the purpose of Krishna's coming to this world. That is one aspect of that. Now, if you think about that, you can see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that imam vivasvade yogam proktavanaham avyayam vaivasvan manave praha manur ichaguve bravil. That this science of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken in this world before also. But due to sakale neha mahada yogo nashta parandava, he told Arjuna that due to the time, it got lost in this world. That is how it happened. Now to bring it back again, Krishna said, I am now speaking to you the same science I spoke to Vivaswan millions of years ago. I am repeating that to you. So in other words, Krishna has already spoken this to Vivaswan before. And similarly, there are other great personalities who have spoken the message of Bhagavad Gita through various other great sages who have presented that to this world. So it is very difficult to accept that Krishna has come to this world just to present Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That Bhagavad Gita has been spoken millions of years ago, and if he wanted to bring that knowledge back, it would not have been so difficult for Krishna to do that, even without being, that is also not the reason why Krishna had come. This is their conclusions. But then why did Krishna come? That question automatically comes. There is something in the Krishna's time in this world which has changed this world. And that is what the scholars of Srimad Bhagavatam has concluded. In their understanding, Krishna did something which has changed the life of the people of age of Kali. How did that change? Aho bagiyam stanakala kodam jikhamsayaya payapyasadvi lebhe gadimda trujidam kudonyo kamvadayalam sharanam vrajamam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you see in the third canto, there is a verse referring to Krishna's merciful nature. And it is spoken by, Uddhava. When Uddhava and Vidura met each other in Vrindavan, at the very end of their life in this world, Uddhava was on his way to Badrinath, Vidura has just come back from all his travels, they met with each other in Vrindavan. And that is where this discussion happened between Vidura and Uddhava. When two devotees like Vidura and Uddhava, they meet each other, what will they talk about? Aho bagiyam stanakala kudam jighamsaya ya payapya sadhvi lebhe gadinda tujidam kudonyo kamvadayalam sharanam vrajemam. It is one of the most beautiful verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which when Sukadeva Goswami heard from Vedavyasa Maharshi, he has lost his consciousness completely. That is how the scholars talk about it. Why? Sri Sukad Maharshi, Sukabrahmarshi, was an impersonalist. And this impersonalist personality, Sukadeva Goswami, is always situated in the transcendental consciousness, Nirguna Brahma Dhyanam, that is how they say. In other words, absorbed in the Brahman realization. When one is absorbed in the Brahman realization to such a depth, it's difficult for him to get interested in the, because they see the absolute truth's presence, oneness in everything. That is their realization. And for them to fall from that is not very easy, especially a personality like Sukadeva Goswami. If you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning, you can see how Sukadeva Goswami's earlier years with Vedavyasa was. Vedavyasa Maharshi was completely affected by Sukadeva Goswami's realizations. A very, very advanced soul in that level. And this Sukadeva Goswami heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Vedavyasa Maharshi. And when Vedavyasa Maharshi spoke this particular verse, Aho bagiyam stanakala kudam jikhamsayaya payapya sadhvi levegadimda trujidam kudonyo kamvadayanam sharanam vrajemam. That Vedavyasa was saying that Pudana came to Krishna with kalakudam on her breasts, to feed Krishna with Kalagudam poison and to kill him. And what did Krishna do in return? Krishna decided that after all, what did she do to me? She has served me like my mother. Exactly like Mother Yashoda has fed me her breast, this Pudana has come to me with the same intention. Although the motives were behind were wrong, to kill Krishna, the service what Pudana has performed is not different than Yashoda. That's what you have to remember. The service what she did, with although in a faulty consciousness, she performed that. Krishna says, you also go back to Vaikuntha. Which other personality has done this except Krishna? Aho bhagiyam stana kala kudam jighamse ya apayadapya sadhvi lebhe gadim na trujidam kudonyo kamvadayalum sharanam brajemam. Vedavyasa Maharshi, when we spoke this to Sukadeva, Sri Shugan completely lost his absorption in his Nirguna Brahman and started seeing Krishna right there, and started, tears came from Sri Shugan's eyes at this point, seeing Krishna's magnanimity and that merciful nature of the Supreme Personality. Even to a person who came to him with the intention of hurting and killing him, Krishna is offering him Vaikuntha for that person. This is Krishna. So because of this reason, Bhagavata scholars have come to some conclusion about it, that why Krishna has to be worshipped in the Kali, in this age particularly, for this reason, because no one else has that compassion of Krishna. Nobody else will act in the way Krishna has acted. And therefore it says that Soyam Krishna Avataro Jayati Tava Vibhom Yatra Sauharda Bidi Sneha Dvesha Anuragai Prabhudivirajalai Ashramai Yoga Vedaihi. Soyam Krishna Avataro Jayati. All glories to the appearance of Krishna. Why? Yatra Sauharda Bidi. That this Krishna taught us certain things which even Lord Ramchandra did not teach us. Lord Ramchandra's time, there was no possibility of following these things. Why? Only in Krishna's time we can do these things. What did Krishna teach us? Yatra sauharda vidhi sneha dvesha anuragai. That love, hate, fear, anger, lust, all these are different kinds of emotions in us. And these emotions you can use in Krishna's service. This is what Krishna has taught us. And that is why I was repeatedly saying this. A relationship with Krishna in some way is necessary. And that relationship can be done in any of these things. This is what Krishna says. Swayam Krishna avataro jayati tava vibho yatra sauharda bidhi sneha dvesham anuraga sneha dvesha anuragai prabhidivir adulai ashramai yoga vedaihi. All these different human emotions can create a relationship with Krishna. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam also tells us in the beginning. What does it say? As far as Gopya Kamal, gopis came to Krishna with lust. That is how they approach Krishna. Gopya Kamal Bhayal Kamsa. Kamsa came to Krishna in fear. Dveshya Chaityadayo Nrupa. Shishuvala came to Krishna with anger. You have to just mention Krishna's names to the Shishuvala. That was enough. There will be a thunderstorm there. That's how it was. That is how much he used to be angry with Krishna in all times. Deshya Chaityadayo Nrupa. Sambandho Vishnaya Snehal Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibhom. That the Pandavas developed a friendly relationship with them. And Narada Muni says, Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. By devotion, we developed a relationship with them. Now, all these things are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But let us think about it ourselves. How this can be applied to in our own life. Can we get angry with Krishna? Can any of us say to Krishna, look, I'm very angry with you. What will you say to the Krishna about it? Krishna, as far as we are concerned, we don't even know how to get angry with Krishna. Because that, if you want to learn, you have to learn from Shishubala. Shishubala will teach you. how to get angry with Krishna. If you want to get fearful of Krishna, then you have to learn that from Kamsa. Nobody else can teach you better than Kamsa. If you read the 10th canto in the beginning, you will see, as soon as that appearance of the Supreme Lord was going to happen, how Kamsa was living. His life is mentioned there in the Bhagavatam. He couldn't sit, he couldn't sleep, he couldn't walk, and he couldn't eat. There was no taste for the food. And 24 hours, thinking, seeing Krishna all the time, inside, that fear inside was there. So, can we do that? That is also not possible. So, these things are there, that gopis came to Krishna with lust, and Krishna made them the finest devotees, the most superior devotees of all gopis have turned into. Gopyakamal, bhayal, kamsa, fear, Kamsa came to Krishna, and that is also made Kamsa to go back to the spiritual world. So, the process gopis have followed, the process Kamsa has followed, the process Shishupala has followed, that is all mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the difficulty is how to bring all this into our own life. That's where the difficulty is, isn't it? So that is where that these instructions from the devotees becomes much more significant. Gopyagamal bhayal kamsa deshe chaidya adayo onrama sambandho ushnaya snehal yuyam bhaktya vayam vibhom. Sri Narada Muni says in the Bhagavatam. But Krishna's kindness is unlimited. Krishna is such a kind in his magnanimity. Krishna says that, what do we all have one thing in common in this world? That nobody can deny that. You may deny it, that I don't have it, but the reality is, nobody is without that in Kali Yuga. And that is distress. The distress is also another emotion like these things, like the different emotions like we mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So, the conclusion is that the Soyam Krishna Vadaro Jaidita Vibhom Yatra Sauharda Bidi Snehadvesh Anuragai Prabhuti Biradulai Ashramai Yoga Vedaihi Artim Tirtha Samaswam Amrita Padamagum. That with the distress, people came to Krishna in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, people will go to Krishna with distress only. That is the only thing that will bring people to Krishna. Krishna knew that very well. And that is what the history you see last thousands of years. Everyone came to Krishna with a distress. But what happened? At the end, Krishna took their distress away. No more distress, they told Krishna. If you want examples, you can start with Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami. Why did they come to Krishna? They were in distress. That is why they came to Krishna. Starting from there, in Gaudiya Vaishnava Parambara itself, if you look, starting from Sanatana Goswami, right up to Prabhupada, Prabhupada came to Krishna in distress. It is not that everything was planned in advance. No. We only hear the great personalities. Only their life we hear. There are many, many others who are not so well known. They have followed the same road. They came to Krishna in distress. And they realized, they learned the art of converting, directing that relation, that distress towards Krishna. In that process, they succeeded in their spiritual life and Krishna consciousness. And Krishna made them one point to realize that there is no more distress. The distress was gone away once for all. Whether it was Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, even right up to Srila Prabhupada, that distress is gone away from their heart. That is why they were able to relieve the distress of so many others in this world. This is what you have to notice there. That you cannot remove somebody else's distress if you are yourself in distress. Just like our United Nations. It keeps on trying to relieve. One side relief operation goes on, the other side war starts somewhere else. So then they move all the trucks and the ambulance to that side. By then in the third place they start. So continuously collect taxes, build up your armory for relief programs. And this is going on constantly. Never seen anywhere any reduction in the distress. Except that it has gone millions of times more than what. If you want to get out of the distress, you have to go to a person who is out of distress. Only he can relieve that distress. Srila Prabhupada came to Krishna in distress. Various reasons. Prabhupada himself acknowledges that at one point that it was Krishna's mercy that I have been taken out of this material life and put me to this situation. So whatever it is, all of them, all these great souls, great personalities, they learned this art of directing their distress towards Krishna. That is where they succeeded. And our failure is also the same. Why? When we get distressed, what do? We give up Krishna straight away. We think, what's the point? Krishna is not doing anything for me. I have been telling him so many things. I have given a complete list of what I need. He never did one thing for me. Now I have lost everything. And I'm not going to waste my time anymore. Rather, I switch on my telly. This will be our attitude. This is where the difference is. So that mind, that solid conviction that Krishna is the personality and age of Kali is such that directing our relationship towards Krishna, because unless you have relationship with Krishna, it is from there everything builds up later on. That purification process is necessary at some time. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Ejeda Purushambaram. Shishukan says to Parishit Maharaj, whether you have no desire, whether you have all the desires, or at that time people like Kumara said to them, four Kumara said, Mochakama Udaradi, that we have no desire, but at the same time we have not interested. We are neither Akamis, we are not Sakamis either. We are interested in moksham, liberation. Mochakama Udaradi. Even for those looking for liberation, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, Tivrena, with full determination in the Bhakti Yoga process, will eventually succeed. This is the conviction and confirmation in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And anybody, if you take in the last 1,000 years or 2,000 years, who have taken to the shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, they followed this route. You can see that it is there that this speciality of Krishna's appearance in this world signifies. Ramchandra could not offer this. Why? There was no distress there. So where is the question of directing distress to Ramachandra? It is only in this age of Kali. People like us, day in and day out, going through crisis after crisis, one thing or the other, family crisis, money crisis, all kinds of crisis, including pension crisis, they are forced on us now. So at least in the old age, people thought, oh, let me finish all this, sit down and chant Hare Krishna. No, there's another crisis to follow that. So they are not going to leave you. Material nature won't leave you right up to the graveyard. It will follow you with one crisis or the other. So the finest thing to do is to accept that if you want to escape from all these things, all these so-called crises, Srimad Bhagavatam says that yatra sauharda bhidi sneha dvesha anuragai prabhrudvi radulai ashramai yoga vedaihi artim tirtam samastam amrutapadamagum. That if one has serious about spiritual life, one wants to go back to Krishna, whatever feelings one has, one should open up that towards Krishna. And that is how the relationship begins. From that open heart, you can't keep anything closed in front of Krishna. That will not work, and that will not have any success in spiritual life. Mechanically, you may do so many things, but if you keep you have to open up your heart to Krishna. And in that process, Krishna responds to the devotee. Krishna sees the devotee's heart, that surrender, that humility, and that the faith, strong faith above all in Krishna's protection and shelter. That is what takes a devotee to understand that relationship. So, like this, you can see from Srimad Bhagavatam and the life of these great devotees, like Vilumangalam and so on, so many others, that they have succeeded in developing this relationship with Krishna. So before I conclude, I need to read at least one chapter from Srimad Bhagavatam, because we have not read Bhagavatam for so long, and it becomes otherwise a habit to skip that, and I'll just read one chapter from there. 8th chapter in the 9th canto. That's where we stopped last time. Shri Shuka Uvajam Harito Rohita Sudas Chambasta Swadhyo Narmida Chambaburi Sudevedo Vijayo Yase Jalpaya Bharuvel Sarsatasmat Bhagastasya Vivahuga Soribirkhada Buraja Sabhajyo Vanama Vishal Vruddham Tam Panchadam Praptam Mahishyanu Marishyadi Aurvena Janadalpmanam Prajavandam Nivarida Ajnaya Sei Sabatni Birgaro Dattanandasaha Sahadena Yusamjada Sagarakhyo Mahayasha സകരസ് ചക്രവർത്തിയാസിൽ സാഗരോയസ്തൈകൃത യസ്താലജംഘാന്യവന ചകാൻ ഹൈഹൈബർബരൻ നാവധീൻ ഗുരുവാക്കേന ചക്രേവികൃതവേഷിണ മുണ്ടാൻ ശ്മശ്രുധരാൻ കാംശ്ചിൻ മുക്തകേശാർത്ഥമുണ്ടിതാൻ അനന്തർവാസസക്കാംശ്ചേർ അനന്തവാസസക്കാംശ്ചേർ ബഹിർവാസസോപരാൻ സോഷ്യമേധേര അയജത സർവവേദസുരാത്മകം ഔർവോപരിഷ്ടയോഗേന ഹരിരാത്മാനമീശ്വരം തസ്യോത്സിഷ്ടം വശും യജ്ഞേ ജഹാരാശ്വം പുരന്തര സുമത്യാസ്തനയാതൃപ്ത പിതുരാദേശകാരിണ ഹയമന്വേഷമാനാസ്തേ സമന്താന്യഘനന്മഹീം പ്രാകുദീച്ഛാന്തിഷിഹയം ദദശൂ കപിലാന്തികേ യേഷവാജിഹരശ്ചൗര ആസ്തേ മീലിതലോചന ഹന്യതാം ഹന്യതാം വാമ ഇതി ഷഷ്ടിസഹസ്രിണ ഉദായുധ അഭിയേൻ അഭിയൈർ ഉന്മിഷയതാ ഉന്മിമേഷ തഥാ മുനി സ്വശരീരാഗ്നിനാഥാവൻ മഹേന്ദ്രകൃതചേതസ മഹാദ്യുതിക്രമഹത ഭസ്മസാധുഭവാക്ഷണാൽ ന സാധുവാദോമിനി ഗോപവർജിത നൃപേന്ദ്രമുത്രാമിനി സത്വനാമിനി കഥം തമോരോഷമയം വിഭാവിതെ ജഗൽപവിത്രാത്മനി കേരയോഭുവ നസ്യേരിതാ സാംഖ്യമയീതൃഢേഹ ഔരയാ മുമുക്ഷുസ്തരതേ ദുരത്തെയം ഭവാർണവം മൃത്യുപദം വിവശ്ചിത പരാത്മഭൂതസ കഥം പ്രതങ്മധി യോസമഞ്ജസമിത്യുക്ത സകേശിന്യാ നൃവാത്മജ തസ്യ പുത്രോംശുമാൻ നാമ പിതാമഹഹിതേരഥ അസമഞ്ജസമാത്മാനം ദർശയന്ന സമഞ്ജസം ജാതിസ്മരപുരാസംഗാദ് യോഗീ യോഗാദ്വിജാലിതാഹ ആചരൻ ഗ്രഹിതം ലോകേ ജ്ഞാനീനാം കർമ്മവിപ്രിയം സരയാം ക്രീഡദോപാലൻ പ്രസ്യ പ്രസ്യദുദ്വേയ ജയഞ്ജനം ഉദ്വേജയഞ്ജനം ഏവം വൃത്തപരിത്യക്ത പിതാസ്നേഹമപോഹ്യ വൈ യോഗേശ്വരേണ ബാലാം സ്ഥാൻ ദർശയിത്വാ തദോയയോ അയോധ്യാവാസിനാ സർവേ ബാലകാൻ പുനരാഗതാൻ ദൃഷ്ട്വാ വിസ്മരേ രാജൻ രാജാചാപ്യന്നുദപ്യത അംശുമാശ്ചോദിതോ രാജ്ഞ തുരങ്കാന്വേഷണേയോ പിതൃവ്യഖ്യാതാനുപദം അസ്മാദിദൃശേഹയം തത്രാസീനമുനിം വീക്ഷ കപിലാഖ്യമദോക്ഷജം അസ്തോത്സമാഹിതമന പ്രാഞ്ജലി പ്രണതോ മഹാൻ അംശുമാനുവാച നമശ്ചരിത്വം പരമാത്മനോജനോ നമോദ്ധ്യതീതാഭിസമാധിയുക്തവി കുതോപരേതസ്യ മന ശരീരതി വിസർഗസൃഷ്ടാവയമപ്രകാശം ഏ ദേഹവായ സ്ത്രീഗുണപ്രധാനം ഗുണാൻ വിപശ്യന്തി ദവാദമശ്ച യന്മാത്മയന്മായയാമോഹിതചേതസസ്തേ വിദുസ്വസംസ്തം ബഹിപ്രകാശ തം ത്വാമഹം ജ്ഞാനഗനം സ്വഭാവ പ്രദ്വസ്തമായ ഗുണഭേദമോഹൈ സനന്ദനാദ്യമുനിഭിർവിഭാവ്യം കഥം ഹി മൂഢപരിഭാവയാമി പ്രശാന്തമായ ഗുണകർമ്മലിംഗം അനാമരൂപം സദ്വിമുക്തം ജ്ഞാനോപദേശായ ഗൃഹീതദേഹം തമാമഹേ ത്വാം പുരുഷം പുരാണം ത്വന്മായാരചിതേ ലോകേ വസ്തുബുദ്ധ്യാഗ്രഹാദിഷു ഭ്രമന്തി കാമലോഭേഷ്യ മോഹവിഭ്രാന്തചേതസാം അതിന സർവഭൂതാത്മൻ കാമകർമ്മേന്ദ്രിയാശയ മോഹവാശോദൃശ്ചിന്നു ഭഗവം സ്തവദർശനാൽ ശ്രീശുഗവാചാം ഇത്തം ഗീതാനുഭാവസ്തും ഭഗവാൻ കപിലോമുനി അംശുമന്ദമുവാചേതം അനുഗ്രഹിതയാനുഭാ ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച അശ്വയം നിയതാം വത്സ പിതാമഹവശുസ്തവ ഇമേജ വിതരോദഗ്ധ ഗംഗാംബോർഹതിനേതരൽ തം പരിക്രമ്യശരസ പ്രസാദ്യം ഹയമാനയൽ സകരസ്തേന വശുന കൃതുശേഷം സമാപയൽ രാജ്യവംശുമതിന്യസ്യ നിസ്പൃഹോ മുക്തബന്ധന ഔർവോപരിഷ്ടമാർഗേണ ലേഭേഗതിമനുത്തമാം ഈ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതി മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം നവമസ്കന്ദേ സകരോപാഖ്യാനി അഷ്ടമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ അജശ്രീ വന്മോ ശ്രീശുഗവാച അംശുമാജ തപസ്തസ്തേം തപസ്തേവി ഗംഗാനയന കാമ്യയാം കാലം മഹാന്തം നാശക്നോ തതക്കാലേന സംസ്ഥിത ദിലീപസ്തൽസുതസ്തദ്വ ശക്ത കാലമേയുവാൻ ഭഗീരഥസ്തസ്യ പുത്ര സ്ഥേ സുമഹൽത്തവാം ദർശയാമാസതം ദേവി പ്രസന്നാവരദാസ്മിതേ ഇത്യുക്ത സമഭിപ്രായം ശശംസാവനതോ നൃപ ഗോപിതാരയിതാവേകം പതന്ത്യാമേ മഹീതലേ അന്യഥാ ഭൂതലം ഭിത്വാ നൃപയാസ്യേരസാദലം കിഞ്ചാഹം ന ഭൂവം യാസ്യേ നരാമയ്യാമൃചന്ദകം ഭുജാമി തഥഹം കുത്ര രാജം സ്തത്ര വിചിന്ത്യതാം ഭഗീരഥവാചാം സാധവോ ന്യാസന ശാന്ത ബ്രഹ്മിഷ്ടാലോകഭാവന ഹരന്ധകം ദേഹസംഗാൽ നേഷ്വാസ്തേ അഖഭൈദ്ധരീ ധാരയിഷ്യതി ദേവേകം രുദ്രസ്ത്വാത്മാ ശരീരിണാം യസ്മിന്നോദമിതം പ്രോക്തം വിശ്വം ഷാഡീവ തന്തുഷു ഇത്യുക്ത്വാ സേ നൃപോ ദൈവം തപസാ തപസാ ദോഷയർച്ചിവം കാലേന അല്പീയസാരാജം സസസ്യ സമദൃശ്യതാം തഥേതി രാജ്ഞാവിഹിതം സർവലോകഹിത ശിവ ദധാരാവഹിതോ ഗംഗാം പാദഭൂതജലാം ഹരേ ഭഗീരഥരാജർഷ നിന്യേ ഭുവനഭാവനി തത്ര സ്വപിതനാം ദേഹ ഭസ്മീഭൂതാസ്മശേരതേം രഥേന വായുവേഗേന പ്രയാന്തമനുധാവതി ദേശാൻ പുനന്നി നിർദ്ധഗ്ധ ആസിനഞ്ജൽസരാ ആത്മജാൻ യജ്ജലസ്പൃശമാത്രേണ ബ്രഹ്മദണ്ഡഹതാ അഭി സകരാത്മജാദിവം ജഗ്മു കേവലം ദേഹ ഭസ്മഭി ഭസ്മീഭ്യാദംഗസംഗേന സൂര്യോദാ സകരാത്മജ കിം പുനഃശ്രദ്ധയാ ദേവീം ൃതവൃതാഹ അഹീതൽ പരമാശ്ചര്യം സ്വർദ്ധുന്യായദ്യഹോദിതം അനന്തചരണാമോജ പ്രസൂതായ ഭവച്ചിത സന്നിവേശമനോയസ്മൽ ശ്രദ്ധയാമനയോമല ത്രൈഗുണ്യം ദുസ്സജം ഹിത്വാ സദ്യോ യാദാസ്തദാത്മതാം ശ്രുതോ ഭഗീരഥാജ്ഞേ ദസ്യേനാഭോപരോഭവൽ സിന്ധുദ്വീപസിതസ്ത അസ്മദായുധാസ്മസ്തോഭവൽ ഹൃദുർപർണോ നളസകോ യോശവിദ്യാമയാന്നളൽ ദത്താക്ഷഹൃദയം ജാസ്മൈ സർവകാമസ്തുതൽസുതാം
തഥസുദാസ്തൽക്കൽപുത്രോ മദയന്തീപതിർനൃപ അഹുർമിത്ര സഹമ്യം വൈ കൽമഷാംഗ്രീത മുതക്കുജിൽ വസിഷ്ഠശാവോ ദ്രാക്ഷാവോ അനവത്യാ സ്വകർമ്മണ ശ്രീരാജോ വാചാം കിം നിമിത്തോ ഗുരോശാവ സൗദാസസ്യ മഹാത്മന ഏതദ്വേദമിച്ഛാമ കഥിത കഥ്യതാം നരഹോ യദി ശ്രീശുക വാചാം സൗദാസോ മകയാം കിഞ്ചൽ ചരൻരാക്ഷോ ജഗാനഃ മുമോചവാദരം സോദാ ഗതപ്രതിനിധി വിഷയാം സചിന്ത നിധയം രാജ്ഞാ സദരൂപതരോ ഗൃഹേ ഗുരുവേ ഭോക്തുകാമായ ഭക്ത്വാ നിന്യേരനരാമിഷം പരിവേക്ഷമാനം ഭഗവാൻ വിലോക്യാപക്ഷമഞ്ജസ രാജാനമശവൽക്രുദ്ധോ രക്ഷോഹ്യേവം ഭവിഷ്യസി രക്ഷകൃതം തദിദ്വിത്വാ ചക്രേ ദ്വാദശവാർഷികം സോപ്യവോഞ്ജലിനാദായ ഗുരും സത്വം സമുദ്യത വായുദോ മദയന്ത്യാ ഔഷധീവാദയോർജഹോ ദിശഖമവനിം സർവം പശ്യൻ ജീവമയം നൃപ രാക്ഷസംഭാവമാപന്ന പാദേ കൽമാഷദാം ഗത വിവായ കാലേ ദൃശേ വനഗോദോപ വനൌ ഗോദോംബദീദ്വജോ ക്ഷുതാർത്ഥോ ജഗഹേ വിപ്രം തൽപത്ന്യഃ കൃതാർത്ഥവൽ കൽപത്ന്യഹൃതാർത്ഥവൽ ഭവാൻ രാക്ഷത സാക്ഷാ ഇക്ഷ്വാ ഗുണാമഹാരഥ മതയന്യത് ബലിർവീര നാധർമ്മം കർത്തുമർഹസി ദേഹിമേ വത്യകാമായം അകൃതാർത്ഥം പതിം ദ്വിജം ദഹോയം മാനുഷോരാജൻ പുരുഷസ്യാഖിലാർത്ഥത അസ്മാദസ്യ വധോ വീര സർവാർത്ഥമസമുച്യതേ യേഷ ഹി ബ്രാഹ്മണോ വിദ്വാൻ സപശീല ഗുണാന്വിത ആദിരാദൈഷ്ഠൻ ബ്രഹ്മ മഹാപുരുഷ സംഹിതം സർവഭൂതാത്മഭാവേന ഭൂതീഷം ദർഹിതം ഗുണൈ സ്വയം ബ്രഹ്മർഷിവര്യസ്തേ രാജർഷി പ്രവരാദ്വിപോ കഥമർഹതി ധർമ്മജ്ഞ വധം പിതൃവാത്മജ തസ്യ സാധോരപാപസ്യ ഭ്രൂണസ്യ ബ്രഹ്മവാദിനാം കഥം മതം യഥാ ബ്രഹ്മോ മന്യതേ സന്മതോ ഭവാൻ യദ്ദേയം ഹൃദയ പക്ഷസ്തർഹി മാം ഘാതപൂർവത ന ജീവീഷേ വിനായേന ക്ഷണം ച മതകം യഥാ ഏവം കരുണഭാഷിണ്യാം വിലവന്ധ്യാമനാഥവൽ വ്യാഘ്രപശുമിഖാഘാതൽ സൗദാസശാപമോഹിതാം ബ്രാഹ്മണീ വീക്ഷവിദുഷം പുരുഷാന്യം പുരുഷാദേന ഭക്ഷിതം ശോചന്ധ്യാമാനപൂർവീഷം അശബൽകുപിതാസതി യസ്മാന്മേ ഭക്ഷിത പാപ കാമാർത്ഥയാവതി സ്വയം തദവായുമൂർത്തിരാധാനം അകൃതപ്രജ്ഞദർശിതാം ഏവം മിത്രസഹം ശബ്ദോ പതിലോകപരായണ തദസ്തീനി സമിദ്ധേഗ്നോ പ്രാസ്യഭർത്തുർഗതിം ഗതാ വിശാപോ ദ്വാദശാബ്ദാന്തേ മൈഥുനായ സമുദ്ധിത വിജ്ഞായ ബ്രാഹ്മണീ ശാപം മഹിഷ്യാസ നിവാരിത തദ ഊർധ്വം സദത്യാജ സ്ത്രീസുഖം കർമ്മണാ പ്രജ വസിഷ്ഠസ്ഥാനുജ്ഞാതോ മദയന്ത്യാം ഭഗാമധാൽ സാവേ സപ്തസമാഗർഭം അഭിഭ്രന്ന വിജായതം ജഗ്നേഷ്മനോദരം ദസ്യ സോഷ്മകേസേന ഗധ്യതേ അശ്മകാ മൂലകോജ്ഞേ യസ്ത്രീ വീപരിരക്ഷിത നാരീകവചമിത്യുക്തോ നിക്ഷത്രേ മൂലകോ ഭവേൽ തദോ ജതസ്മാൽ പുത്രമൈതവിടസ്തത രാജോ ർത്തിപോൽ യോധേ വൈരർത്തിതോ ദൈത്യൻ അവധീതി ദൂർജയ മുഹൂർത്തമായ ജ്ഞാത്വൈ സുപുരം സന്ധതേമനം നമേ ബ്രഹ്മകുലാൽ പ്രാണ കുലദൈവാന്നജാത്മജ നശ്രിയോ നമഹീരാജ്യം നദാരാശാദിവല്ലഭ നവാലേമിമതിർമഹ്യം അധർമ്മേരമതേ കുജൽ നാവശ്യമുത്തമ ശ്ലോക അന്യൽക്കിഞ്ചന വസ്തഹം ദേവൈ കാമവരോധത്വ മഹ്യം ധ്രുവനേശ്വരേ നൃണേ നമഹം കാമം ഭൂതഭാവന ഭാവന യേവിക്ഷേപ്തേന്ദ്രിയതിയോ ദേവാസ്തേ സുഹൃതിസ്ഥിതം നവിന്ദന്തി പ്രിയം ശശ്യം ആത്മാനങ്ങിമുദാവരേ അദേശമായാദേഷു സംഘം ഗുണേഷു സന്ദർഭ പുരോപരേഷു രൂഢം പ്രകൃത്യാത്മ വിശ്വകർത്തുർ ഭാവേന ഹിത്വാ നമഹം പ്രപദ്യേ ഇതി വ്യസിതോ ബുദ്ധ്യ നാരായണ ഗൃഹീതയാ ഹിത്വാന്യഭാവജ്ഞാനം തത്വസംഭാവമാശ്രിതാം യൽതൽ ബ്രഹ്മവരം സൂക്ഷ്മം അശൂന്യം ശൂന്യകൽപ്പിതം ഭഗവാൻ വാസുദേവേതി എം ഗൃണന്തി ഹി സാത്വതാഃ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം നവമസ്കന്ദേ സൂര്യംശാനുവർണേ നവമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ വി ഹാവ് നൗ കം ടു ദി 10th ചാപ്റ്റർ ഓഫ് ദി 9th കാന്റോ ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വെയർ Ramchandra's pastimes begins. One thing about this 9th canto, what you have to remember is that you will see a lot of kings in the Solar dynasty and Lunar dynasty mentioned there. Now, what is interesting is that Sri Shugan has taken limited time to talk about them because of the urgency to bring the 10th canto to Parikshit Maharaj. For that reason only. But at the same time, he has not left them out. He could have completely told them that Suryavamsham, there were so many kings, and Chandravamsham, there were so many kings. But instead he chose to this point of making Parikshit Maharaj aware of who the ancestors were in the Lunar dynasty and who were the kings in the Solar dynasty. Why? Why did they do that? The reason for that is that Srimad Bhagavatam presents us the history of the world. This is the history of the world. Solar dynasty and Lunar dynasty. There is no other dynasty. All other dynasties have come later. But these two dynasties, Solar and the Lunar dynasty, they have powerful Kshatriyas as their kings. And all of these kings, if you see their life, very briefly mentioned there, they have all dealt with material nature very strongly.
They played with material nature at a very high cost, a very high price. But you will also see one thing you can notice. At the end of their life, they gave up all this association with material nature, went to the forest and went back to the spiritual world. So this is one aspect of all these great personalities in the Surya Vamsham as well as Chandra Vamsham. Almost all of them, you will see, at some point, although they were materially very, very active, much more than what you could imagine, that is the kind of activities they performed in this material world, but at some point in time, they were able to give up that and go back to the to go back to the spiritual world with full understanding. So this greatness, what you see in the kings of the solar dynasty and lunar dynasty, and this is the reason why Lord Ramchandra appeared in solar dynasty and Krishna appeared in the lunar dynasty. So that is briefly about the, we will have to continue Ramchandra's story. There is a lot of things there that why various things mentioned in the Valmiki's Ramayanam, and also the things what has to learn from Ramayanam, what the insight into Ramayanam. There's so many things which we will continue from next Sunday. But if there's any other questions or comments, please. Yes. He gives mercy means, what it is that merciful, both are merciful. Ramchandra is also merciful. But by the time Krishna came, Kali Yuga has almost come now, as soon as Krishna came at the end of Dwapara Yuga, isn't it? So when Krishna came, the devotees who followed after Krishna's appearance have realized that how to approach Krishna, because when you take to spiritual life, you have to know the process also. Just like we know chanting Hare Krishna is a process. But at the same time, when you want to have a relationship with Krishna, it has to start somewhere. Now, when you are not distressed in life, naturally you will not approach Krishna in that relationship. But from the time of these different personalities, like Gopi's case, Kamsa's case, and Shishubala's case and all, they all utilized different human emotions in building a relationship with Krishna. Although not done deliberately, done in a way that out of hate, Kamsa had to relate with Krishna, with Krishna. And out of fear, Shishubala had to relate with Krishna. So you can see how all these different human emotions can develop a relationship with Krishna. But we don't have any of these things. All what we have is a lot of distress to offer to Krishna. And the same way, if this distress is related to Krishna, or in other words, if that is used properly, a devotee can build that relationship with Krishna. That is what you find in all the great personalities. When Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, when they came to Mahaprabhu, they were in distress. Terrible distress they were. Why? Because with the background they had, the culture they had, they couldn't continue with their life, what they had to live with the boss, who was it? The Kasi, yeah? They could not accept that, because they knew life has much higher purpose. And to utilize, throw away one human life like this, just attacking other countries and adding wealth to the Kasi's khajana, or the treasury, was not the satisfaction for them. So they were in distress. They were in distress because they felt that they got a human birth, a brahminical birth, and good instructions from the parents, and so many things. In spite of that, could not study Srimad Bhagavatam and serve Krishna. This was in their distress. So Krishna arranged that they meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu's mercy, everything happened, and eventually they said, "We have no distress." Swami says, "I have no distress anymore. All distress is gone." Why? That is how Krishna comes in. When Krishna enters into the heart, all distress goes away. Srila Prabhupada's case, I don't have to explain, all of you know that Prabhupada was in distress in life. Things happened like that. But Prabhupada succeeded in turning that distress towards Krishna. The result was that Prabhupada said, "I have no distress anymore." How was he able to say that? This is what you learn from these life of these great personalities, that they all succeeded in that relationship with Krishna. Whatever they had in hand, We all have distress. That is one thing we have in abundance. We have no shortage of it. Either wealth or this or health or this or something or the other. If one succeeds in developing a relationship with Krishna, due to that, that can turn to the, open up the gate for going back to the spiritual world. That's what it shows. Yes. 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 We're talking about yes. If you read Valmiki's Ramayana, you will see there how was Ramchandra's administration in Ayodhya. It was such that the subjects were not subjected to any of these things. Dasharatha had to accept that. Dasharatha's history is there behind why he had to go through all these kinds of distresses in his life. And in Ramayana, there is the analysis of Dasharatha, the personality. And as I mentioned, Dasharatha had this special weakness with Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi had taken away Dasharatha's mind. And both Kausalya and Sumitra, out of the three wives, Kausalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi, Sumitra is the personality who is admired by many of the readers of Ramayana for various reasons. That in spite of all the disturbances that has happened in the royal family, Sumitra is the one personality who succeeded in keeping everything in peaceful condition. When Lakshmana went to Ramachandra, along with Ramachandra to the forest, Sumitra never spoke against it. Sumitra said to Lakshmana, and this Sumitra's words in the Ramayana has become the most popular words in the whole of Ramayana, Valmiki's Ramayana. So you can see there that Dasharatha had, due to some special circumstances, got victimized by the situation. And Ramachandra decided to support Dasharatha at any cost. And Lakshmana, which did not appreciate that, so he objected to that. Now, as we go ahead further in Ramayana, there's more things to say. At that time you will realize it. Why? In these situations, Ramachandra acted like that. That we'll talk about in another day. But when I'm saying that, material distress as it is experienced today in the age of Kali never existed in the Tridayagam. Tridayagam was free from all these kind of distresses. What it doesn't require much to explanation about our life in this world. But because we got used to it, we accept this as a normal life. Yeah. That this is what happens in this world. Everybody, I mean, Prabhupada gave a very, very beautiful example about that. There was one person preaching in Sheffield. I'm sure some of you might have heard this also before. That one priest went to the miners in Sheffield. And these miners, they were listening to this long lecture from the priest about the necessity to engage in spiritual life, whatever he was instructing him. But a priest was saying to them that there is hell in heaven, and if you do not engage in spiritual life, yeah, you will have to go to the hellish planets. Yeah? So the miners started questioning, what is this place called hell? What's it like? They wanted to know from the priest. So priest said that it's always damp and wet and dark there. Miners said, what's different? We are living in the same condition. It's not much different than where we are today. So this is not a big problem, they said. That we are used to it here anyway. It's not so hell. There's not much different as far as they are concerned between hell and mines in Sheffield were concerned. So then the priest said that there is no newspaper there. In the hellish planet, right? So they said, then we're not going there. Because they need that page 3 in the morning to meditate on. Otherwise, their life is not complete, you see. So as soon as they get the 30p in the morning, you see they're running to get that, to meditate upon that in the morning. So they don't do that. So they said that there is no fun there, going there. So everything is conditioning. As you get conditioned, you start thinking this is normal. This is the way to be, 8 to 10 hours in a struggling and whatever. salary you get, you to be satisfied with that at the end and accept life like that. There's nothing you can do about it. But Tridaigam was not like that. Tridaigam was different. People had no such complaints. Existence in this world was not their big problem. So that was the difference. That is why even after so many millions of years later, why when you talk about Ramayanam and Ramchandra's administration, why still people want to have that? It is from this that this thing comes in. That there is an understanding that there was some happiness in this world also. And can you imagine anybody who takes you back all to the spiritual world when he leaves this planet? So just see that that is the... It's a completely different concept altogether. Whereas now that in Kali Yuga we are here and we have got everything, all problems we have. So with the middle of these problems, you have to develop consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So accordingly, Krishna has also responded to the devotees. That you have distress, come to me with your distress. There will be some relationship between us. Let that relationship build up. In due course, you will forget your distress and you will go back to the spiritual world. That is Krishna's speciality. Ramchandra did not offer that because there was no opportunity for Ramchandra to do that. Krishna had enough opportunity. And Krishna, through various personalities who took Srimad Bhagavatam in their hand and went to Krishna with their distress, and they came back saying that I have no more distress. No, when Ramchandra's administration time, nobody left this Ayodhya. Nobody left the planet. That was so perfect that Jara, old age and death didn't exist in Tridaigam. At that particular time, Ramchandra's time. Because Ramchandra appeared in the early times of Tridaigam. And only if you wanted to die, you will die. If you want to leave this world and go to another, just like people get ideas to go to Moon or to Mars, something like that. If you get a desire, oh, I want to go to some Gandharva's planets or the heavenly planets, only then you win. Ramchandra's administration was so glorified that even the demigods in the heavenly planets, they were envious of the administration here. The opulence the people enjoyed in Ayodhya. So such is the history.
Just a point, an observation that I made, if you can comment on it. The older generation, I was brought up, and the older generation preferred the Ramchandra avatar as opposed to Krishna. They preferred reciting Ramayana, and I hadn't even heard of Srimad Bhagavatam until I came to ISKCON.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Why is that? A lot of things are done basically coming from the family traditions. In some families they have taken to Ramayanam seriously, and because Ramchandra's history goes back a lot more than Krishna's time, there were more temples built and Ramayanam was always recited. Many people have an attraction for Ramchandra because of the Ramchandra's strict adherence to principles. That's why Maryada Purushottam title has been given to Ramchandra. But sometimes you wonder whether has Ramchandra has been sticking to it too much, more than necessary. And there is a little bit of discussion about that in the Valmiki's Ramayanam. That Ramachandra, Sri Shukan's opinion is like that. So Sukadeva Goswami says that Ramachandra has stuck to more than what's necessary for dharma, for religious principles. That's what in the Bhagavadam Sri Sukadeva Goswami says. And while evaluating Ramachandra's... Now, what you have to remember is, Ramchandra is not affected by any of these things. So, Martha Shishartham Evam, only for teaching us that in this world, if you live, you have to experience distress one or the other. That should show us that he did these things. It was a pastime more than anything else. So, in that, Ramchandra was never in distress. Ramchandra was never subject to be in distress, subjected to distress. But even if Supreme Personality comes here, engages in the activities like the human beings, you can be subjected to these distresses. And because of that, many people felt an attachment to Ramchandra, that strict adherence to religious principles. So that continued for a long time. And because of Ramayanam's popularity through Valmiki and later on by also many great devotees appeared, Ramchandra's devotees, they also glorified Ramachandra. Now, you must not think that Srimad Bhagavatam was not popular. That is because Srimad Bhagavatam was always popular. The only reason was that Bhagavatam always stayed in the hands of the higher devotees. They kept it to themselves. They did not present it, bring it out to the world and present it like the way Srila Prabhupada did. It is only due to Prabhupada's mercy that Bhagavatam has become so extensively popular among the devotees. And this Srimad Bhagavatam has the special, if you read Bhagavatam, you will see in the first beginning itself, it uses the word Dharma Projita Kaidavotra Paramo Nirmal Saranam Sadam Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. What is this Tapatrayon Mulanam? Tapatrayon Mulanam means that Bhagavatam can take your distress away. If you are in distress, that distress will go through Srimad Bhagavatam. Tapatrayam. Tapatrayam is Adhyatmiyam, Adhibhavadiyam, Adhidevyam. Three kinds of distresses. Srimad Bhagavatam can take it away. Unmulanam means completely uproot the whole distress from one's life. This is in the beginning. Dharma Projita Kaidavotra Paramo Nirmal Saranam Sadam Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. This is in the very beginning. And at the very end, if you look at Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see the same statement again. What does it say? It says, Nama Sangirtanam Yasya Sarva Baba Pranashanam. Why one is in distress? Because of sinful life. Sinful life is a cause of distress. Now, we may say, what have I done? I am such a nice gentleman sitting here. I have not done anything wrong in my life. I have been very good to everybody else. And I have given money in charity. I have done this, I have done that. I helped everybody whomever I come across. We have all kinds of understanding about goodness in us. But we don't have our complete record. This is the problem. We only have our history in this world, in this life. There is a long history behind us which tells a different story. And when you start looking at that history, that the problem starts. So that's where the whole difficulty comes. So there Bhagavatam says that sinful activities is that what is stopping us going towards Krishna, keeping us away from Krishna. Therefore Bhagavatam says at the end, Nama Sangirtanam, if you just chant the holy name of Krishna, Sarva Bhava Pranashanam, all sinful activities, reactions will get wiped out at the end. Pranamo Dukkha Shamanam. Dukkha Shamanam, in other words, getting rid of the distress. That is Tam Namami Harim Param. Holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam can take that distress away from you. So Bhagavatam is specially geared for Kali Yugam. Because of this, why? Kali Yugam is the only great Yugam where you can get all the distress in one lot. Nowhere else you will get it. So we are all the great devotees of this Kali. So we have to accept. For this reason, Bhagavatam is the literature for Kali Yugam. That is why Prabhupada writes in the introduction, if you read Kali Yugam, Age of Quarrel and Hypocrisy, you can see small issues becoming very big crisis in this world. And no agreement between people, always quarreling. Even a small place, there is quarrel and argument about things. This is all special features of this Kali. So that is why Srimad Bhagavatam is the, to different times, different literature. I'm not saying Ramayanam is not important. If you want to understand Ramachandra, you have to read Ramayanam. But Srimad Bhagavatam for this age is special because of these special features.
You talk about distress, yeah? You were saying that you have to establish your relationship with Krishna through distress.
Yes.
You gave all the examples of these demons and exalted devotees who had their relationships and distresses were extreme in one case to the other.
Yes.
And then you also indicated that what are we? We can't even hate Krishna nor love Krishna.
Yes.
Yeah? So then you indicated that if you offer your distress, that distress will be relieved through your relationship with Krishna.
Yes.
From my interpretation by that statement, you're actually indicating that to actually build your relationship, you can build it through praying to Krishna, saying, look, these are my distresses. And then from that, what Krishna is saying through the Bhagavad Gita is he will eventually reduce our reliance on material nature, so the distresses will go away.
Yes.
But you've indicated that, okay, whatever problems we have, we offer them to Krishna. But isn't that not being hypocritical in the sense that surely Krishna should be worshipped with all glories, and you know, just passing on your distress doesn't sound right.
If you have no distress, why come to Krishna? That's the first question. That, were you attracted by Krishna's beauty? Or were you attracted by something different? When Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, artho jijnyaso artharthi jnani cha bharadarshabha, he says. And whom did Krishna put in the first in the list? Artha. Artha means one is in distress. So, to say to anyone that, I am not in distress. I love Krishna so much, that's why I come to the temple. That will be a little bit more hypocritical than anything else. The honest statement will be to understand that gopis, who is the greatest of all devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they said to Krishna that when you spend your childhood with us, what you gave us was, that was the happiness that kept us going in this world. They had a lot of distress. Gopis were not living comfortably like, even like us. They had their own difficulties in this life. They said, we are ordinary people. We have not studied Shastram, Bhagavadam or Bhagavad Gita or anything. We have not studied anything. We had old people to care for at home. We had children to care for at home. We had a lot of responsibilities at home. If you read in the 10th canto, there is a particular point, the Vipravatni Mosham, that particular chapter, you will see how the old brahmanas gave trouble to the gopis as well at home. They engaged them continuously, 24 hours. Do this, do that, do this, do that, something or the other. They completely kept them occupied. So they had their distress. And they also said, we are ordinary people selling butter, cheese, milk and yogurt and all. We are ordinary people. But in spite of all that, the distress never touched them. Why? Because their devotion to Krishna was such a higher level that Krishna took away that distress and gave them the perfect understanding that relationship with Krishna is the happiness, not disconnecting from Krishna. So, in perfection of Krishna consciousness, what the Goswamis and others talk about is this relationship with Krishna continuously, without any breakage, continuously going on with that. But it takes time to come to that. Before that, some relationship has to start with Krishna. And many, many devotees, they use their distress in building that relationship with Krishna first. Because after all, who hasn't got any distress in this world? Everybody has some distress or the other. It's very difficult to say there is no distress. Human life in this world means distress only. We came to this world in distress. Even at the time of death, what do we say? Ishwara, I have to die now. I have to leave. Even then you are in distress. Only you are leaving this world. So in the middle of all these things, I haven't seen anybody living in a happy mood. Have you? I haven't. Then anybody who is dying, all what we see, go through at that point and what we see is something from all records of all the devotees is only one thing. Pranaprayana samaye kapha vata pittai kandha varodhana vidhau smaranam kutaste. Kulashekhara Alwar asked Krishna this question. Pranaprayana samaye, when you are leaving this body, kapham vata pittai, kapham mucus, bile and air, all these things will come and start choking at the throat. And the doctors have a specific instrument to scrape it out, the mucus from inside. Why? You can't even properly say anything. Kandha varodhana vidhau. It comes and chokes your throat. Smaranam kudaste. Kulashekhara Alwar asked Krishna this. How will I remember you at that time? So you can see from this, if a king is talking like this, I'm sure we are not kings, so we must have some distress more than what a king has, isn't it? If a king has to say this to Krishna, I'm sure that he has a higher realization than us. After all, he was a king who ruled. He had much more facilities than what we had. So even kings have spoken like this. This is that approach of many of the great devotees. They saw distress in this world. Only thing is they recognized it. We don't want to even recognize it. We want to close our eyes. That is our problem. When we have distress, we think that, distress, what is there? And this is all life, isn't it? After all, and we'll sit there and philosophize the whole thing and start thinking that, oh, this is nothing in life. If you start thinking like that, you cannot live in this world. This way, our mind goes in different direction. No, that's not. This happiness, and is this that life has to be like this all the time in distress? One thing or the other, day after day, day after day. Where is it written like that? It has to be like this, that we have to live. It's not mentioned anywhere. Krishna says you can have a higher happiness, higher life. But because we are not experienced it in this world, we are always thinking that this is the standard of life and we are satisfied with it. But this is not the standard of life. Vedic literature says, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, of this darkness. This is darkness, this understanding that this distress is okay, life is alright like this. This concept is coming from darkness. That's how they say. Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, come out of that darkness. Mrityoma Amadogaya, that from death, this changing body, is it a very pleasant thing? It's not a very pleasant thing that you have to die here, take another birth in Watford again, come through all this whole circle, go through the Watford hospital second time, die there again, come and take birth in some Mount Vernon hospital, another life. And is that a very pleasant thing to do? All the time going through these surgeons and operations and hospitals and everything? Even if you get the human body, I'm saying, that where is the happiness in all these things? So if you accept Krishna's words on changing the body and accepting another life, you have to accept everything what Krishna says. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. Material world is temporary. It is temporary. It is full of miseries, Krishna says. Imam prapya, come back to me. You will find what is happiness.
Okay, and the second thing that you indicated was that the reason for Krishna's advent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is actually indicated in the Bhagavad Gita, what the devotees have indicated, but then you actually state the confidential aspect of it, that he comes at the time of Dwapara Yuga to actually relieve the distresses of everyone, and then you took that example of Putna.
Yes.
That example woke up
Sudeva Goswami, yes.
And he said, wow, I'm getting away from him personally.
Yes.
This guy is really so.
Krishna's, he was attracted by that magnanimity of Krishna. What he showed to Putana, it moved him so much that scholars are saying it was that one particular verse that influenced Sukadeva Goswami to take to Srimad Bhagavatam seriously. That particular verse has hit him so hard. And if you analyze word by word that verse, when you go home, you can take that verse. Uddhava saying this to Vidura. Uddhava and Vidura were crying when they were talking about this particular incident, what Krishna showed to Putana. This, remember, this all happened on the sixth day of appearance in this world. From that day onwards, till the last day, when Jara, the hunter, shot the arrow to Krishna's lotus feet, Jara came up, when he thought that he shot the arrow on a deer or something like that, because Krishna's lotus feet has reddish color at the bottom. So, not seeing, knowing what he has done, when he came to his senses, he realized what he has done. So what did he do? He came up to Krishna and started rolling on the ground. He did not say to Krishna, please protect me. He told Krishna, please punish me. This is what Jara told Krishna at that time. Why? He felt so guilty for what he has done. Jara says to Krishna, please punish me. He never said, he protect me. What did Krishna say to him? You also go back to Vaikuntha. This is Krishna. So, is there anybody who is so magnanimous and merciful like the way Krishna has acted? That is why, in spite of all the other difficulties one has, people still come to Krishna. Krishna is the shelter of all the living entities. That is why, when Supreme Personality of Godhead comes here, his activities also has to be to the same standard of Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is why Krishna's activities become so interesting throughout 10th canto, 11th canto and 12th canto. This is what we read.
Is it because we are so manga that we don't realize we are in distress?
Yeah, that is the reason, yes. Because we are mandas, we can't even recognize that we have distress. We are always thinking that life is like this, what can be done? Adjusting little things here and there and plugging all problems and carrying on, and in that process end comes and we leave this world in distress also. So where is the... But Shastram, Vedas never say that, because the sages, their answer to this question was that somehow or the other use the human life for this higher purpose as best as you can. Material problems will always be there, that will never go away. In one way or the other it will give you trouble, but at the same time, if spiritually if you advance, you will escape from this whole prison once for all, and without that there is no hope.
What said that
That's not completely true, because if you see Ramachandra's instructions in Ramayanam to Lakshmana, they are different in many ways than what Krishna has instructed Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. According to that time in Tretayugam, Ramachandra has instructed Lakshmana, and according to the time in the Dwapara Yugam end, when he spoke to Arjuna, his instructions looks closer to our heart for reasons. That Arjuna's situation was very much similar to our situation. That Arjuna had a lot of difficulty even in the beginning. He had his own certain moral codes which he was saying to Krishna, that I think that I'm doing the wrong thing. All sorts of things he was saying to Krishna. So Krishna had to start from the very beginning in Arjuna's case, and Krishna spoke things what was necessary to bring Arjuna back to Krishna consciousness. That's what he first thing he did. Now Krishna's teachings are dearer to our heart than what Ramchandra has spoken at the time to Lakshmana, because of the time span involved. You'll find more practical what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna for us in the modern world, because of the close proximity in time. So time has a big influence in all these factors. And when Krishna comes in Ramachandra's form, it's the same personality who comes in another form, according to the circumstances, he uptook that dress and came. And when Krishna decided to come himself, he knew the people who were here and what their situation was. So accordingly, Krishna performed such pastimes to attract us towards him. That is why childhood pastimes, what you find more attractive in Krishna's case than even in Ramchandra's case. I think we'll stop there because some program there here. So Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur ki Prem Saho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinana Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhani ki Vrindavan Dham ki Mayapur Dham ki Madhura Paridham ki Jagannath Paridham ki Dwaraka Paridham ki Ganga Mai ki Yamuna Mai ki Tulasi Devi ki Bhakti Devi ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Samsara Sagare Magnam
Dinam mam karuna nidhe karma grahya grahidangam mam udhara bhavarnaval. Srimal Bhagavadakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi Svikrado Simaya Nadha Muktyartam Bhavasagare Manorathe Madiyoyam Sabhala Sarvadatvaya Narvigne Neiva Kartavyam Dasoham Tavakeshavam Bhave Bhave Yatha Bhakti Padayor Stavajayade Tatha Kurushva Devesha Nathastvam No Yada Prabhom Nama Samkirtanam Yasya Sarva Baba Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Shamanam Tam Namami Harim Param Janmadhyasya Yatonvayadi Daradas Charte Shvabhitya Swarar Tene Brahma Hrida Ya Adi Kavaye Mukhyandi El Surayam Tejo Varimradam Yatha Vinimayo Yatra Trisargo Mrisha Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Kuhakam Satyam Param Dhimahi Dharma Projida Kaida Votra Varamo Nirmal Saranam Satam Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam Tabatrayon Mulanam Srimal Bhagavade Mahamunikrite Kimvaparai Ishvara Sadyo Hridhyavarudhya Netragradibi Shushrushubhi Talchanal Nigamakalpadaror Galidam Bhalam Shukamukhadamrudadravasam Yudam Pibada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavugaham Sachidananda Rubayam Vishol Patyadi Hedavim Tavatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Numam Yam Pravrajandam Anubedam Abeda Kratyam Dvaipayano Virahakataram Ajuhavam Putredi Tanmayadaya Taravobhinedu Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam Munim Anadosmi Yasva Anubhavam Akhila Shrutisaramegam Adhyatma Deepam Adididirshadam Tamondham Samsarinam Karunayaha Purana Guhyam Tam Vyasasunam Upayami Gurum Muninam Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Jaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayel Kamaniya Kishore Mukthamurte Kalavenu Konidadridaninindoho Mamavaji Vijrambharamurare Madhurimna Kanikapi Kapi Kapi Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Shrimate Bhaktivedanda Swamin Itinaminem Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarini Shrimal Guru Charanaravindabhyam Nama Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishnasha Yasam Harigadod Gidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam Gopi Charanaravinda Paramanave Nama Pidambaram Karavirajita Chakrashangham Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Radha Sahayamati Sundaramandahasam Vatalayesha Manisham Kridibhavayami Komalam Kujayan Venam Shyamaloyam Kumaraka Veda Vedya Param Brahma Bhasadam Puradomamam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Lenghayade Girim Yalkribatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Om Shri Krishna Namah Srimadiri Adhikaye Namah സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദം. So we have to go back to the story of Ramakatha, or the Ramakatha Madhuri as it is referred, because of the sweetness of Lord Ramchandra's pastimes in Ramayanam. We were discussing this many weeks ago. I think it was on the 2nd of November we started discussing about the Ramayanam in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And since then we could not continue, so we come back to that now and continue from there where we stopped on that day. As I mentioned before, that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to hear Ramayanam from Sukadeva Goswami. Ramayanam story is not new to Parikshit Maharaj. You may have to remember that, because if you see the lifestyle of the Pandavas, you will notice one thing. In Mahabharatam specifically, this is shown very explicitly, that all the sages used to come to see Yudhishthira Maharaj in the palace. This was a common feature of the life of the Pandavas, because Krishna has instructed the Pandavas always worship the great sages, worship the great devotees. Let there be always guests at your house. When Yudhishthira Maharaj was having all these guests like Markandeya Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, and then Durvasa Maharshi, all these sages, you will find throughout Mahabharatam, they coming and visiting our Yudhishthira Maharaj and going away. Either they were fed very well, or they were invited to discuss the Shastram together. And you look at Duryodhana, what was happening? His visitors were Karna, Shaguni, Dushasana, and so on and so forth. All the evil elements were regularly visiting Duryodhana, because that is association he decided to go with. And similarly, our Yudhishthira Maharaj decided that he will associate with the saintly people. And therefore, his visitors were also of similar nature. So you will see there that Markandeya Maharshi's name is mentioned particularly as a visitor to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Why is Markandeya Maharshi considered so important? Because Markandeya Maharshi is the most authoritative source on Ramakatha. While speaking about, his title is given as Purana Acharya. Acharya of all the Puranas was given to him by Sri Parvati when he met Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva together. At the end of Dwadashaskandam 12th canto, you will find in the Bhagavatam, Purana Acharya Dastude, Purana Acharya, the Acharya of all the Puranas title was given to Markandeya Maharshi. And this Markandeya Maharshi has spoken Sri Rama Katha, Ramachandra's Katha, in the association of all devotees, including Krishna, and in the assembly of all the Pandavas and Kunti Devi, many, many times in the palace before. So Parikshit Maharaj was very much familiar with Ramakatha even before he has heard this from Sukadeva Goswami. That is what is important thing to remember, that Parikshit's knowledge of Ramakatha, it was not that he was going to hear the first time from Sukadeva Goswami. Parikshit has heard it many times before from the Markandeya Maharshi. But when Solar Dynasty was discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when it came to the stage of Ramakatha, Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, "I would like to hear about Lord Ramchandra from your mouth than anybody else." So it was on that special request that in two chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Ramchandra story has been discussed by Sukadeva. Swami. And you will see also the difference. Sukadeva Goswami's analysis of, eventually after discussing about everything, Sukadeva Goswami evaluates Lord Ramachandra in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He evaluates Lord Ramachandra, that is this great personality, Sukadeva Goswami. He analyzes what type of life Ramachandra had in this world,
and what was the result of living such a life in this world. This is the beauty of Sudeva Goswami's Ramayanam. So all the sages, Veda Vyasa Maharshi, who has not touched Ramayanam? Valmiki, Sri Narada Muni starting from, Narada Muni discussed Ramayanam, Valmiki discussed Ramayanam, Veda Vyasa Maharshi discussed Ramayanam. Now Sukadeva Goswami discusses Ramayanam, Markandeya Maharshi has discussed Ramayanam. So almost all the great personalities, they all had at some time or the other had put their mind or intelligence into Ramayanam, and from there they have enjoyed this nectar, what is known as Ramakatha Madhuri, or the sweetness of Lord Ramchandra's story, the story of Ramayanam. So this is what we started discussing, and in that discussion we found out, I've mentioned about this, that there were three personalities who were very, very, very dear to Lord Ramachandra. Through their devotion, they reached that status. That is how they attained that level. It is through devotion that you please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ramachandra had Valmiki, Lord Shiva, and Anjaneya or Hanuman. These are the three personalities who were very, very dear to Lord Ramachandra. And that you can see also, when you study their relationship with Ramachandra in detail, you can see that. We were talking about Valmiki. How does Ramayanam come about in the beginning? Ma nishada pradishtam tvai agama shashwadi samaham yal kraunjamidina deham avadhi kamamohidam. This is the first verse in the Sanskrit language ever spoken. Ma nishada pradishtam tvai avadhi shashwadi samaham yal kraunjamidina degam avadhi kamamohidam. Valmiki Maharshi, after going through his life first as a Brahmana, then as a hunter, then as a sage, Valmiki, this was his third birth, that he has had to go to have his Madhyandinam. Madhyandinam means Brahmanas and sages, they have three times in a day, they have to perform these Sandhyavandanam activities. Sandhyavandanam means these three Sandhyas. First Sandhya is in the morning, second the middle of the day, and then third one in the evening. So the one in the middle of the day, Madhyandina Sandhyavandanam, Bharadwaja Maharshi went to the river. In some places it is mentioned, Valmiki Maharshi went to the river. In some places it is mentioned that Bharadwaja Maharshi accompanied him at that time. And it was there that he saw these two birds who were sitting and enjoying on a tree. And he was looking at them and he was performing his Sandhyavandanam standing in the river, water up to his waist. So he noticed a hunter shot the arrow and killed one of these birds. And suddenly, immediately on the spur, the moment, Valmiki Maharshi felt a great disappointment in his heart for what this hunter has done. So it was at that time this first words came out from his mouth. Ma nishada pradishtam te agama shashwadi samaham yal kraunjamidina degam avadhi kamamohidam. My dear Nishada, hunter, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to curse you and burn you into ashes. Why? You have killed one of these birds. Because Valmiki Maharshi's heart was very soft. He felt that what this hunter has done was something unforgivable, in the sense that two birds sitting together and they were trying to give pleasure to each other, and one of them has been shot down by this hunter through one of his arrows. And Valmiki thought that was a very, very cruel thing to do. And from there, this verse came out from his mouth. Then, yal kraunjamiduna deham avadhi kamamohidam. They were in love, each other, these two birds. And at the same time, they were known as krauncha birds. And yal kraunjamiduna deham avadhi kamamohidam. That kamamohidam, they were in relationship with each other like that. So Valmiki decided to curse him, but at the same time he controlled himself. It was then that Lord Brahma came to Valmiki and spoke to him that he should expand this verse into further into the story of Ramayanam. So it was then that Valmiki, through his introspection or through his reflection of these words, he realized that this verse has a lot to offer. From this verse, so many things, conclusions he arrived at. There was something like 16 different verses, 16 different versions of this verse
coming out from the different scholars on this. So Yal Kraunjamidina Degam Avati Kama Mohidam. So we were talking about this verse and how Valmiki decided to compile Ramayanam. Now we mentioned before that Valmiki's effort to compile Ramayanam became successful. Why? How did he become so successful? The reason for that is that Ramachandra, if you look as a personality in the Ramayanam, you will see that some of the decisions what Lord Ramachandra has made, sometimes difficult for us to understand from our mind. For our mind it is very hard to understand. And unless and until we study Ramayanam, it is sometimes looks to us that why Ramachandra took the decision to go like that. There are three specific instances in the Ramayanam when Ramachandra's decisions were found difficult to understand and difficult for devotees to sometimes accept because of the complexity of the situation. When Dasharatha Maharaj decided to gave this commitment to Kaikeyi that Rama should go to the forest for 14 years, actually Dasharatha Maharaj could have refused to accept that request from Kaikeyi. Nothing could have stopped from doing that. In fact, if you look at the from the Shastric viewpoint, Guru Orapyavaluptasya Karya Karya Majanadam Utpada Prativannasya Parityago Vidhiyadem. That is how Shastra says. Spiritual master, the king, father, if they make such requests which are totally blunder or absurd or completely against the interest of the people or interest of the benefit for the person, then you can reject them. You can reject a spiritual master. You can reject your own. You can reject the a king. You can reject the instruction from anybody for that matter. Karya karya majanadam. That this is from the Mahabharata. This statement is there. So on the strength of that, in fact, on the basis of this statement, Valmiki could have refused to accept this instruction from Dasharatha Maharaj. In fact, Dasharatha Maharaj did not directly instruct Ramachandra. It was through Kaikeyi that the message came to Ramachandra. So Ramachandra decided to support his father in spite of the fact that Kaikeyi had made an unreasonable request. You can see from Ramayanam that why one Ramachandra has to go to forest for so many years. And it was one thing, Kaikeyi wanted Bharata to be installed on the throne. Even if that was a selfish motive from Bharata, what justification was there for Ramachandra had to go to the forest? So this question comes up there. Now in normal situation, this would have infuriated anybody, that such a request from Kaikeyi. And Dasharatha Maharaj could not say anything about it. And according to Sukadeva Goswami, Strainasya Chapi, that Dasharatha Maharaj was very much affected by Kaikeyi's youth and Kaikeyi's beauty. That is how it is mentioned. Whatever it is, Dasharatha Maharaj's life was such that he was a very great personality in his own way. And one of the biggest problem Dasharatha had was that he had no time for his householder life. Most of the time he was busy with fighting wars. He was running around all over the world, sometimes even going to heavenly planets. Indra was requesting him to come to help and things like that. So Dasharatha was so busy that apparently he has forgotten to get married up to the age of 50,000. This is what Ramayanam says. Till 50th, he was 50,000 years old, he has not even had time to get married. So it was then that one day Sumandra, his minister, told Dasharatha that if we go on like this, what will happen to this solar dynasty? Solar dynasty will come to an end now with you. And unless you have children, this is not going to help. So eventually, Dasharatha got married to Kausalya, which we know, the daughter of Kausalam, king of Kausala. And then he had no children from Kausalya. So he decided to marry another princess, which was Sumitra, and from Sumitra also he had no children. But Dasharatha didn't bother. He was busy with his administration, management, and whatever that was. He was going around.
for a long time this went on, and eventually Dasharatha was requested by Sumantra. He came up to him that once when Sumantra went with Dasharatha to the heavenly planets to fight a war, Sumantra was told by the Sanat Kumara Maharshi, one of the four Kumaras, that King Dasharatha will have four children and Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear in the family. So for some time Sumantra has forgotten this, and when it came to his mind, he immediately remembered this and told Dasharatha that he should get married immediately and there should be an arrangement, a marriage organized for him. Dasharatha started asking Sumantra, "I'm now 60,000 years old. What's the point in me getting married now?" This is what his answer was. He said he had no time for marriage till now. He was so busy with his work. And now he's 60,000. He said, "Who is going to give me a girl to get married at 60,000? Even Dasharatha Maharaj came to that conclusion. So you have to remember at that time, Kosalam, which was the capital, was Ayodhya. And Kegayam, where Kaigeyi comes from, and Mithila, Janaka Maharaj, they were the major rulers in Aryavartam at that time. And Dasharatha had no particular interest, but there was always a rivalry between Mithila as well as Kaigeya. The kings between Kaigeyi's father and Janaka Maharaj. There was a rivalry going on for quite some time. And they will always like the friendship of the king of Ayodhya, King Kausala, for one reason only, that in their fight against each other, they were playing this political activity. They were trying to involve him. But Dasharatha had no interest in that. So it was at that time, the king of Kegaya kingdom wanted to offer Kaikeyi in marriage to Dasharatha. So Kaikeyi was young and beautiful compared to Kausalya and Sumitra, who were older. And when Kaikeyi was offered in marriage, everybody requested that Dasharatha should marry Kaikeyi. And along with Kaikeyi, the king also sent with one commitment that whoever and the prince is born from Kaikeyi, he should be given the throne, next throne. So many commitments, so many guarantees were given, and eventually also to support Kaikeyi, Mandara was also sent by the king. Now what has happened was Dasharatha discussed this matter with Vasishtha. Vasishtha was the acharya for that solar dynasty for many, many generations. Vasishtha was advising them. So this sage Vasishtha told Dasharatha Maharaj that you should perform an Ashwamedha Yagam, Ashwamedha sacrifice. And in those days, along the river, there will be so many yupam. Yupam means the post on which you tie the horses for men for the sacrifice. And these yupams will be covered with gold. So if you go to the riverbank and you see the number of yupams or these posts, what stands there, you can count them, and from that you can see how many Ashwamedha sacrifices one particular king has performed. This is how it was done. So along with Ashwamedha sacrifice, Dasharatha was told by Vasishtha Maharshi that he should perform another ishti. Ishti means it's another aspect of the sacrifice, which is known as putragama ishti. It's another ishti, only with the purpose of having children. So putragama ishti was organized by Vasishtha Maharshi, and in that putragama ishti sacrifice, the demigod appeared, and Agni appeared, and brought a payasam. Payasam means a sweet substance, which was given to Dasharatha to be offered to all the wives, Kausalya, Kaikeyi, and Sumitra. But when the pot was brought outside, only Kausalya and Kaikeyi were there immediately. So Dasharatha gave that pot to Kausalya and Kaikeyi to share. They shared that payasam which came out, but when they were having the payasam, at the same time Sumitra walked in. So Kausalya immediately gave half of the prasadam to her, and Kaikeyi thought, if I don't give half of it, it looks a little bit improper. So Kaikeyi also gave half of her to Sumitra. The result was that Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna iti samyayaha. Bhagavatam says Sri Raman, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, they were born. Ramachandra from Kausalya, and Lakshmana and Shatrughna from Sumitra and Bharata from Kaikeyi were born. The four princes were born from in the family. So at the same time, something else was happening. That due to the trouble from the Ravana, the demigods have gone to complain to Mahavishnu about the problems they were facing with Ravana. Now Ravana has taken a benediction that he will not be killed by anybody except an ordinary human being. Now why he said like that? Because Ravana had no fear of human beings, because Manushyas, they are referred to, are the food for the Rakshasas. They are a Rakshasa race. So for them, normally a human being is a food. So they eat people all the time. Obviously this Rakshasa race has come in, not in existence probably anymore. But this Rakshasa race who existed in Tridayugam, their food was human beings. So they decided to, he has taken this vow, he's taken this benediction, that he will not be killed by anybody except a human being. So this was the reason why Krishna, the Supreme Personality, had to appear in the human race as Ramachandra, with this one understanding that Ravana could alone be killed by a human being. So Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna iti samyayah. Then Valmiki Maharshi, when he realized that this particular incident, that what has happened to Ramachandra has taken birth. And before Ramayana was compiled, Valmiki's mind was very much focused on these matters. That ever since he saw that the birds were short, Valmiki Maharshi thought in his mind further about it. It came to his mind also something else. That after all the marriage was performed, Ramachandra and Sita Devi lived together for a very short time happily. After that, Kaikeyi's insistence on installing Bharata as the king, Ramachandra and Sita Devi decided to go to forest. Then they had all their time in the forest for a long time. Sita Devi was stolen by Ravana, and eventually, with the help of Sugriva, Lord Ramachandra decided to kill Ravana and retrieve Sita Devi from Sri Lanka and bring her back to Ayodhya. So all these things happened. But normally you would have expected that the story should have finished there. That after bringing Sita Devi back to Ayodhya, things should have been a little more normal. Altogether, Ayodhya was in tears ever since Ramachandra left Ayodhya. But the story didn't end there. Afterwards, you know what happened in Ramayana, that it was spoken against Sita Devi by a washerman, and Ramachandra decided to banish Sita Devi into the forest. So, first point, why Ramachandra accepted the decision from Dasharatha Maharaj to go to forest. Why did Dasharatha Maharaj committed that to Kaikeyi? Why Ramachandra did not reject it? Number one. Number two, just because a washerman has spoken something about Sita Devi like that, although Sita Devi has come through the fire and proved her purity, and every sage has accepted that Sita Devi was pure, and there was no question of sending Sita Devi because somebody has spoken something in the street. In the name of Dharma, Ramachandra decided to send her to the forest, banish her, after all going through all this so many years in the forest, in tears, they spent so much time together in the forest, and all this war was fought to get Sita Devi back from Ravana. In spite of all that, when they come back to palace, hardly a few years have gone, Ramachandra decided to send her into the forest again. What is the logic in that decision? Number two. Number three, after rejecting Sita Devi, you find in the Ramayana that Ramachandra did another thing which also sometimes difficult to understand, that is sacrificing Lakshmana. This Lakshmana, who has been so loyal to him and so committed to him and went along with him to the forest, even giving up his own comforts at home to support Ramachandra and Sita Devi, he spent all his time there. Throughout the battle, Lakshmana was side by side with Ramachandra in his battle with in Lanka against Ravana. After all that he has done, served his brother so loyally and dutifully, and at the last minute, at one point, Ramachandra decided to reject Lakshmana also. So, three instances. Everyone will ask this question, that why Ramachandra did that?
Soyam martyavadharam tava khalu niyadam martya shikshartham evam,
to teach the human society certain things in life. And that is what coming through from these. Everything in Ramayanam has a message to the human society to learn from that. Every personality in Ramayanam is bringing to us certain things. It is pointing out to us that follow this route or don't follow this route. Dasharatha Maharaj is showing us something. Kausalya is telling us something. Sumitra is telling us something. Kaikeyi is telling us something. All the four brothers, Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna, are telling us something. And Ravana is also telling us something. And same thing, Vibhishana is telling us something. What is Ramayanam? Ramayanam is nothing. Story of three families. One family in Ayodhya was like demigods. They were Devas quality. Another family in Kishkindha, a family of monkeys. That is the monkey's nature. And the third family in Sri Lanka, that time it was Lanka. In Lanka, a family of Rakshasas. So you can see that three modes of nature also coming from them. That this demigod family, look at Lakshmana and Ramachandra. Lakshmana and Ramachandra, they were brothers. Lakshmana and Ramachandra, in their travel, they meet Sugriva. So there is a discussion between Lakshmana and Sugriva. If you see that discussion, you will understand what we are discussing. It is very easy to understand. Sugriva and Lakshmana is discussing about their brother's activities. Lakshmana is talking about Ramachandra and Sugriva is talking about Bali. Lakshmana never spoke one word about Ramachandra, which he found everything, higher qualities in Ramachandra as the elder brother. So this quality in Lakshmana, to see that Ramachandra, his eldest brother, is far like a father for him, more than an elder brother. So that is that godly quality in Lakshmana, that he never found one fault in Ramachandra. Throughout his conversation with Sugriva, he mentioned anything about Ramachandra in a wrong way. Whereas Sugriva, constantly blaspheming Bali for everything what he did, continuously criticizing, and he found he had no difficulty in talking against Bali in every possible way. In other words, that is that Vanara Jadi, the monkey nature in Sugriva was coming out. Now you go to Lanka and see what was the situation between Ravana and Vibhishana. Vibhishana was a devotee, no doubt about it. But his loyalty to Ravana was very much questionable. In fact, at one stage during the war, Ravana said to Vibhishana, "Ramchandra is not my enemy. My enemy is you." That is how he took Vibhishana. And I would like to kill you before I kill Ramachandra. This is what Ravana was after. So you can see the three families, one is like demigods, the other one is like the monkeys, and the third one like the Rakshasas. That three nature in three of them. Vibhishana never trusted Ravana. They were brothers, never trusted him. On the other hand, did everything he could to destroy Ravana by offering his services to Ramachandra. So these personalities are telling us certain things, that how to mold one's own life in this world, even leaving aside all the other aspects of spiritual life. That comes much later in Ramayanam. But these stories, these personalities, they teach us a lot of things. A relationship between two brothers, what it should be like. A relationship between the family members, all these things comes in the Ramayanam very, very nicely. Perhaps that is the reason that for thousands of years, Ramayanam was released by everybody. Because all these personalities offered us something to think about in our human relationships. You have to remember, in the earlier days, people lived closer than today. Today, the attitude or the nature is to break away as soon as possible from home and go and separately set up your own palace or whatever it is. So separate as much as possible in individual pockets. But there was no, that was a modern trend. But it wasn't like that before. They had to live, large families had to live together. And they prospered and found security in that lifestyle. So whatever it is, you'll see this nature among these brothers, between Sri Ramachandra and Lakshmana, Sugriva and Bali, and similarly Ravana and Vibhishana. That's one. Now, as we're coming back to the story of Valmiki, Valmiki as I said before, that Ramachandra decided to send Sita Devi away to the forest. Ramachandra has decided to send Lakshmana also at one point away. Ramachandra took all these three decisions, three important decisions. In the first decision, as far as Dasharatha was concerned, Ramachandra could have avoided that. He could have avoided that. Everybody in Ayodhya wanted Ramachandra to be king. In other words, he disappointed everybody in the kingdom. Number one thing. Secondly, Ramachandra also did something to upset his mother, Kausalya. Kausalya didn't like Ramachandra going to the forest. And Ramachandra had such a cool mind to convince Kausalya how important it is for Kausalya to stay in the palace and look after Dasharatha in his absence. Ramachandra never got any time. Ramayanam, you will not see anywhere Ramachandra getting upset about anything. That coolness in his mind and his firm convictions in his what he believed, even if it did not approve the Shastra, he still stuck to this path of making his own decision, which he thought is the right thing to do. Maybe there are higher reasons beyond than this, but Ramchandra's decisions were such that the way he implemented each decision within the family, the friction within the family was such that there was a lot of friction happening there within the palace. Kaikeyi created such a difficult situation for everybody that the fact that Ramchandra had to go to forest, when Ramchandra decided to go to forest, what was the next thing happening? Sita Devi decided to follow him. So when Sita Devi decided to follow Ramachandra, Ramachandra said, no, you have to stay back. You have to stay back here and look after Kausalya, and that is what I would like you to do. Sita Devi said, no. My position first with the husband. Everything else comes later. Though, what do you see from all these things? Why these decisions were... They were not taken very lightly. They were all taken with a due consideration of all the different side of it. And there were first-class advisors like Vasishtha Maharshi and so many other great sages to advise them in the right direction. So these decisions were taken with due consideration, and Sita Devi decided to go with Ramachandra. And there is a whole discussion between Sita Devi and Ramachandra, and you will see where Sita's personality coming out through that. Sita Devi is considered to be one of the five great personalities, great women in the Vedic history. Sita, Draupadi, Tara, Ahalya and Mandodari. These are the five from the Ramayanam. They are considered to be very great personalities. So Sita Devi is one among them. And Sita Devi's point was that for me, everything else comes later. As a married woman, my first duty is with the husband. So you can see that determination in the heart of Sita Devi. Generally we say women are weaker than men. So out of the three things one possesses, one says in the Ramayanam, that three things, Balam means physical strength. Second one is the Ojasa means the power of the senses. And the third one is the Sahas, the strength of the mind. So in physical ability, although they are considered weaker than the men, the other two, power of the senses and the strength of mind, they more or less are superior to men. That is the strength of women. The womanhood is derived the strength from this, the strength of the mind and the strength of their sense and sense control. So from Ramayanam you will notice this personality Sita Devi is teaching us that when somebody is trained up like Sita Devi, under no circumstances she is shaken by the situation. And that strength of mind, what Sita Devi had, is seen throughout Ramayanam up to the very end. Sita Devi had gone through the forest, experienced a lot of distress through her travels into Panchavadi, to Kishkindha, everywhere. But in all those circumstances, Sita Devi was cheerful. Why? Because she was having that satisfaction, that commitment to her cause or conviction of serving Ramachandra. And even after Sita Devi was taken to Lanka by Ravana, and Ravana threatened to kill her, what did Sita Devi do? Sita Devi took a grass from the ground and took it and bent it and cut it and showed it to Ravana like this. That is Sita Devi. Where else you will find a personality like this, Sita Devi's strength of mind, to show to Ravana that she is not afraid of a death from anybody as long as she is sure that Ramachandra is there to protect her. So Ravana was trying to induce her in many ways to accept him, and Sita Devi refused throughout that time in Lanka. And under the Shimshava tree, when she was seated there, Ravana was trying to push Sita Devi to accept his terms, but Sita Devi rejected all that. Eventually, Sita Devi was brought back after the war was over. Ayodhya, they came back and they were received in a large scale at the palace. And then this thing incident happens with the washerman. By now, Sita Devi was pregnant. So, this pregnant Sita Devi, Ramchandra had sent her to the forest. And whom did he ask her to take her? He asked Lakshmana to take Sita Devi to the forest. Sita Devi was taken to the forest and left her there. And Lakshmana, while parting Sita Devi from the forest, paid his obeisances to Sita Devi. And tears were coming from Lakshmana's eyes for such an act, instruction from Ramchandra to do that. Although initially Lakshmana refused to do that, later on he had to agree because it was instruction from the king. So Lakshmana came back, and it was by providence or somehow or the other, it so happened, it happened to be near Valmiki's ashram. So Valmiki saw Sita Devi in the forest in this condition, a pregnant situation, took Sita Devi to his ashram and looked after her, and the two boys, Leva and Kusha, were born there. So after Leva and Kusha were born, Leva and Kusha were trained about the Leva and Kusha were brought up by Valmiki, and all facilities were given to Sita Devi by Valmiki. And when the children grew up, when they were 10 or 12 years old, by then Valmiki taught them, Leva and Kusha, the story of Ramachandra. That was taught to Leva and Kusha. And Leva and Kusha learned Ramayanam from Valmiki, right up to the stage of the coronation. Not bringing Sita into the forest. That part was not taught Leva and Kusha. So there it says there, Leva and Kusha were trained by Valmiki so nicely that when they sang Ramayanam, it was such a pleasant thing to hear. Suswarakshara suspashtam nadashruti manoharam. That is how they sang Ramayanam. Suswarakshara suspashtam. That every letter was spoken so clearly and in so pleasant way. Nadashruti manoharam. That it was such a wonderful thing to hear Ramayanam when Leva and Kusha has sung. So one day, Valmiki said to them, now you go to the palace and recite this Ramayanam to Lord Ramachandra. So they went to the palace, and when they went to the palace, what happened? They stopped them at the gate. The boys told them that they have come to see Ramachandra. And seeing the boys and their beauty and the way they spoke, the palace at the gates, the guards immediately took them to Ramachandra, and Ramachandra saw them. And they started singing Ramayanam to Lord Ramachandra. They sang the Ramayanam. After hearing Ramayanam, they gave a lot of presents. Ramachandra gave a lot of presents to the two boys. When he asked them that who taught them these things, when he gave the presents, they refused straight away. They said, we will not accept any presents. We were told by our teacher not to accept any gifts. If it's the case, we want to see the teacher, they said. Ramachandra said to them. So Valmiki was brought in. Valmiki came in. Valmiki came in and saw Ramachandra. And Ramachandra congratulated Valmiki for teaching the boys Ramayanam. And after that, he offered him. So Ramachandra was wandering in Panchavati and in the forest calling for my Janaki, where have you gone? And Ramachandra was in tears. It is at this time Sati Devi is coming in. Sati Devi came and saw Ramachandra crying, calling out for Janaki, Sita Devi. And Sati Devi thought, let me have some fun with Ramachandra now about this. So what did she do? By her own potency, after all, they are great personalities, she took the form of Sita. And she started hiding in the forest. So when Ramachandra was calling for Janaki, Sita Devi, our Sati Devi was answering back, Ariputra, I am here. What are you searching for? Like this, she replied.